This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening. It is Tuesday night. It is 7 o'clock here in Phoenix, Arizona. You are live in Studio C with us. We are the cast of the show on Q-Talk America. Hello, I'm Clayton McKee alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. We're all here joining you as we do each and every Tuesday from 7 to 10. And, happy autumn to those of you who are experiencing the first day of the autumn solstice.
Experiencing, I am.
There was a big fancy word that I saw out there. Somebody put it was autumnal. Maybe that was it.
Autumnal.
The autumnal solstice.
That's right. Yeah. It's a pretty word.
Very good. Yeah, that was nice. Autumnal. That is a nice word.
It is a nice word. I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not quite like autism, but it's different.
Yeah. Similar.
Kind of.
I mean, I think all this week on Facebook,
however
we've seen the danger.
Identify.
The danger of anagrams. I think we do have to be careful.
I never even saw what that. Did they ever get to the end?
They don't show
spells?
What it. No, they don't show.
That makes it even better.
Yeah, they kind of just go. No.
I'm gonna. You see, at the end, he goes, "I'm gonna just stick with whatever the hell word he already had, and it doesn't have anything to do with it." But oh, geez, random words, random letters spell out cunt flaps on a board game on a game show. I don't know. What do you do with that, Bob? I don't know.
How am I supposed to feel?
I don't really know. Oh, well, hello, everybody. Let's see. I'll check a gander over into the old chat room and see if anybody is there. Oh, Tomo. Hello, Tomo.
Hi, Tomo.
Your mom.
My mom is there. Hello, Mom. If they're good. Oh, I like the good day, Clayton. He gave me. I'm going to really try to do an accent
g'day.
Again. I thought I had one there. But
oh, my God. Well, you did.
I did.
It just wasn't the
completely
right
away. Completely away. Or wasn't earlier in the week Talk Like a Pirate Day?
Arg.
Wasn't?
I have no idea.
Yes.
I think it was this week.
It was in between Tuesdays, yes.
Right. So it was like last week.
I believe it was Thursday, maybe?
Something like that was Talk Like a Pirate. I don't know why
something
the hell
like
why do you have that day?
No idea.
I don't need that day. Don't know.
It's because people that want to talk like a pirate need to be accepted too.
Oh, we have to give it an open door to everybody.
Yeah, there it is.
Whether you lick windows
or. That's what the P is. LGBTQPNIOS.
P is pirate talkers.
Whether you lick windows or shit yourself, we welcome everybody here at the old Q Talk America.
Happy autumnal.
How about if I don't welcome everybody? You handle the.
You work that out.
The shitters and the lickers, and I'll take whoever's behind
so
them.
So did you see what Meow Cal just put in the chat room? As much as I love hearing you guys stumble over my usual username, I'll limit it to just Cal tonight.
Yes.
One Easy Cal. Well, maybe that's your new name, One Easy Cal.
Yes.
Maybe we have the maybe we're pronouncing Meow Cal wrong.
Meowcore? I don't know.
Yeah. Wow, more accents.
Oh, God.
And I just took the first sip
and
of this beverage.
They all sound like window lickers. That's weird.
Now try Canadian.
You can't be offended by that.
Canadian?
I mean, you should be offended by that.
Well, it is Canadian whiskey that I drink, so maybe I can have it. I don't know. I'll say A a lot. Oh, we have a story about bacon later.
All right.
Niagara Falls was recently on fire.
So. Oh. Wow. Okay.
The city nearly burned down.
Well, this just in. But I don't know anything about this.
Oh, wait. It was some big fucking fire. Like just a couple blocks from my sister's house. It burned for days.
Oh.
All kinds of firefighting and donating stuff. Mm. Seems to be out now.
Did they make s'mores?
I know. But big, like the big cloud of smoke was actually on the radar and like.
I don't. It's funny. I heard.
I was surprised it never made the national news.
I mean, they're trying to compete now with wildfires in California.
Yeah, I mean,
half of the state's gone. It's a rather big state.
Right.
Yeah, and there's not as pretty of homes right near this fire.
Well, that's probably true.
But
not near the
terrorists at the border or whatever they are.
Yeah,
people escaping that try to get to Canada.
Afghans
for Canada. I don't know. It was some kind of a donation.
It was like Powerade, like Afghan aid or something.
Tomo is now giving me. Coaching lessons for exits. I need to pronounce g'day mate as g'day mate. G'day mate. G'day mate. I am not. It does sound better.
He's
but
good.
I'm not ready to audition for the Priscilla Queen of the Desert musical.
No. But like when I, like like one part of Canada in the I read a book about it was after 9/11 and it was something to do with all the planes that landed there. But it's you pronounce Newfoundland like understand Newfoundland like that's how you pronounce it. It's not Newfoundland. It's
Newfoundland.
You brace it, but you say like understand.
Oh, I never.
So they give you those little tricks to like, so you don't go there and offend them.
I never thought about saying Newfoundland.
Mm-mm. That's how it looks, but what,
no, you know? No, I do. I agree.
Yeah,
it does.
No, I know.
But nothing
I
would make you say Newfoundland. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I'd like to pronounce all the letters in the word, please.
Wow.
Cunt
Yes.
Exactly.
Cunt flap. I mean, my lad.
Cunt flaps. Plural.
Which makes it worse. Sometimes.
Plural. Yeah, I know. It turns into meat curtains really quick.
Oh, I'm going to stick with the word I got, Bob. Yeah.
Hi, Harrison.
I was just partially offended until that happened. Until she added an S to it.
Then I realized that there should have been two.
Yeah.
She's missing one. Oh. Oh, by the by, did you see this?
A bad accident.
A horrible flappish accident. Did you also see that Midler's coming out with a new album?
What? It's part of my entertainment section.
Oh,
must we jump
I
ahead?
Do know. I just saw it on Facebooks, which I'm going to add an S to everything. Yeah.
I was like, when did that come out?
No, everything should have an S to it.
The Facebook.
The Facebook
is very important about keeping your real name, so please do not add an S to it. It's not on your credit card.
Is that for real? Has that been like verified that they're actually hunting people down for their not real
name? Yeah, I'm booting them off.
Really?
Because I think Barbara actually got the boot recently, and then they let her back on, and then with the
because I've been watching it all, going, I wonder if this is just urban legend and everybody's falling for it.
No, it really.
You know how everybody panics about every 3 years about how Facebook's going to start charging. Well, I don't think what are we going to do?
I think once it's on NBC News or CNN, and I think they probably vetted the story. So when I hear it on that,
are you sure?
Yeah, well, no. I'm, for the most part, I mean, it's not just like
on Fox News. Yeah.
Well, then it's all Obama's fault.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and some blonde girl needs to get a root touch up. My guess. Just about. A little bit after 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for being with us here in the Old Gay Studio. It is show number 183 on this, the 23rd of September. It's the year is going to be gone before we know it, kids.
Okay.
As we go around the table, as we do every week, we start with the lovely and talented Kat Carlson.
Well, it's been a busy week. I'm happy to report that I brought us one new listener.
Oh, yes, yay.
Yeah, very good. Excited. So we want to give
him two.
Now, my mom, yeah. Tomo. Well, I don't know who else is in the chat room right now, but didn't you?
Listeners, party Harrison. Of six. Yeah. Listeners, party of six.
The tens of one, the ones of tens of people who.
Our tens of listeners. Our ten of listeners.
A ten.
I hope you're all just listening and not watching. You just
included
a microphone.
I don't think it's that good of a
game. It's your microphone.
Yeah, I walked in to okay. do something in one of the kids' schools, and my friend Heather, who works there, she leaned around the corner from her desk, and she said, "So I'm listening to the most interesting podcast." And I, of course, got just slightly embarrassed of this and went, shut up. Really? Yeah.
So and she said, apparently she's Prairie Home Companion. She's listening to that from Garrison Keillor.
Yeah. So apparently she managed to download and listen
Wow.
Know, and I hope it continues. So, Heather, I hope you're listening.
Does she have children?
She does.
Okay.
She has an older child.
Okay. So this is the not safe for work. Program, so I'm sure she understands that she needs to listen. Got it.
She figured it out fucking fast.
Cunt flap.
Yeah, right. We're 8 minutes in. We've dropped C-bombs.
Several places. Well, welcome, new listener.
Hello. Other than that, I'm getting ready to dive into the madness that is AIDS Walk and keeping up with all of that. I'm going to try and build a nice big team again this year. So
very good. Good for you.
And the team that this is the cash-in team, right?
You're already on the leaderboard. You're already up there. So
am I? Okay.
What are you? What's the name of your team? Forgive me for not knowing this.
Hashtag
at the cash.
Okay.
So that I could be alphabetically first, and Barbara Seville fucking stole my trick.
She's a smart one. Let's
A still
see.
Comes before B, though, so at yeah. the there cash beats yeah. Barbara Seville.
Oh, you are actually in the top 20. You're at number 18, actually, right now is where you are.
Well done. I could tell
you who's number one if you want me to, but wow, that's actually jumped a lot since the last time I looked at this.
It's been very active. Like, Barbara's
I guess.
Been very active.
Barbara Seville's Wonderful 100 is number one right now at $8,300.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she's got to reach 20,000 for her $100,000 goal.
No, that was all mine. I just sent it in.
I like to believe that I scared the pants off
of her because
I feel like she started early this year.
Yeah.
No, she didn't.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Usually at the end of October, she puts out feelers. What?
Give it to Kat. Yeah.
You
can have none of my beer now.
What about this $100,000?
If she gets to $20,000 this year for her 5-year total, she'll be at.
Gotcha.
And I think it's a little less than $20,000 that she needs to be at $100,000 for her whole
total.
Gotcha. Well, I thought you were going to tell me that something had happened and somebody decided if you get to 20, I'll donate 80 and you'll be at 100.
Sure. Like, whoa, no, but I mean that's pretty impressive. 5 years.
It is very impressive. And that's not to discount any other of the teams. All the money does go to the exact same cause. For all of the local charities. So anybody, give a dollar to whoever, whatever team you want to support. It makes no difference.
Hashtag at the cash.
Or hashtag BSW100. Anyway, however you want to let that shake out.
She's got enough money.
Oh, really? Yeah. Sure. And we ain't even really gotten rolling yet.
I got in a lot of trouble last year with that.
I do remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I don't.
No, yeah. She went around.
We were being very competitive, and Barbara Seville's team reached the $10,000, which is the 100 people and the $100. Like that's the the base goal, and they reached it. So I, of course, photoshopped Barbara's face onto something that says, "Hey, we made it. We're done. Go join the cash team."
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not see that.
No,
got taken down very quickly.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I'm the one who actually saw it on Facebook and alerted Barbara, and I think, and then Barbara immediately called you.
You're the snitch?
It's on Facebook.
I know it's on Facebook. That's where I put it.
Well, she would have eventually figured out and probably would have been more pissed if it had gotten bigger.
Yeah. No, she was very gracious and very fun about it.
But.
as she always is.
Yeah, of course.
That's fantastic.
Barbara's always
there's a very healthy competition between Team Richard.
And Richard.
And Richard, yeah.
Yeah.
With Barbara in charge of the one
Fountain
team.
Hills Barb?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the... it's just the whole thing that it's Barbara that leads that one in honor of her son, Richard, and it's Richard leading this one in the name of Barbara. Right. So it's just... to me, it's just a really funny little...
And I liked how when, 2 years
Punch
ago,
flap.
Was it when,
three years ago,
when Team Richard came so incredibly close as far as with beating Barbara Seville, and I believe it was like right at the end, then Barbara put
all of our money into theirs to call them the winner so that they ended up raising, it was like over $40,000. It was very touching.
44 or something.
It was touching, but I told Barbara she could never do that again because I'm not playing that game.
I was amazed at how many people were annoyed by that.
Annoyed by that? Why?
And it was one of the most moving things I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
I was a weeping mess.
You being a competitor as much as you are.
I am, but I was a weeping mess as well.
Okay, you're an emotional competitor.
That's a good point.
I was like, fuck you people, we're we winning? That's it. So,
and it's not like any of us were going to be in the picture.
That, yeah.
And I love this one being competitive. He doesn't even raise any money.
I do too. I do my 100.
25. Did you get to 100 last year?
Yes.
Oh, I thought
so did my mom. Because
I knew your mom did.
And I funded it. But I've got to actually sign mom up for it. I haven't done her yet. I should probably do it later tonight.
I'm like, wait a minute. But,
no, I did. Absolutely, I did. I had 100 last year. And I don't know if I funded it or if Barbara shot money into it so that everybody, I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I was on board promoting and I walked. I mean, was it you sleep in for the cure? Is that what you were saying?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God, that was funny.
But, yeah, no, I got up and walked. You walked with us last year, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought so.
And this year you're going to be gone, correct?
No, I think I actually am going to be there.
Oh, good.
Oh, right. Well, it'll alert the media. So they can make sure they see Al Perkins in his in the wild.
Yeah, I have to come from work, so I think it's going to end up being
a very slow walk for you.
No, I think I'll just be. But last year it was so weirdly rushed that it really didn't. It really didn't matter.
Year.
It went so fast. Yeah. We were like there. We took some pictures. We walked. We were done.
Yeah, that's true.
It was nice, but I'm like, oh boy, that was fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many people do you have on your team already, Kat? Do you know yet?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I don't know.
Very cool.
So I haven't looked at
it. Do you have any events coming up that you're promoting or doing?
We do. We've got a big sign-up event coming up this Saturday.
At the bar?
At the bar.
At the cash?
Yep. So we're going to have people there, you know, helping out and helping you register and getting everybody on board. And we've got Red's Apple Ale coming in to help support us with their new flavor Wicked and some giveaways and some fun. So we're going to have a big party and get some people signed up.
Signed up and drunk.
Is that your Red Solo or something?
That's the Red Solo Cup party, yeah.
Oh, okay, very cool. I guess I hadn't seen that one yet.
Yeah, I just saw that earlier today.
Lovely.
And it's a great cause. It's a lot of fun.
Well, and a fun thing to compete over.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, like, who can raise the most money for charity?
Because, though I was going to put it, everybody
26th,
is a winner.
Harrison, it's on October 26th, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
October 26th.
Yeah.
Last Sunday.
There are 32 days, 13 hours at this moment left
Very nice.
Before the old walking. So far, they've raised $126,500.
That's fantastic.
It's awesome.
And you know that number's going to go way higher than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because
at the end, everybody rushes in with their... Oh, I forgot. And they just all rush in with
their stuff. Do you remember with Elsa? Was that the 3 years ago?
3 years ago was I made the top 10 as we were crushing.
Yes.
I was trying to get people right up to the last minute, and one of the girls I grew up with like made a donation, so they had to change it. They're like, wait, we have a new person that does it.
And
they counted it because she had donated like 100. I was like within $5. Yeah. I needed her to just give 10.
Yeah.
And she did 100.
Because I wasn't going to give my own money. It was absolutely not going to be my money. That was,
was
absolutely on there. This was coming from me completely.
It's fantastic. I love that.
Ms. Ra, what's the little notepad for? Are you writing tickets? Are you a private investigator?
Nope. I always have my little notepad.
I've never seen that little notepad.
I love my little notepad. Carried around with me.
Okay. What do you do? Well, I don't. It's kind of funny. I've never noticed you have this little notepad.
Can we have a sample of what's on it?
Yeah, what notes do you write, Marnie?
Yeah, let's see. Okay.
Is it things like, you know.
If it starts out with how much I love Aaron, I'm going to barf.
Flip the page.
The next page says.
Aaron really loves me.
Yeah.
We got to get more dogs. Yeah. The page.
Oh. No. I think we're good there. No, it's just a kind of to-do list. And then when I come in here, I write down the list of the stories and the.
Gotcha. It's just more. It's easier to keep that small pad than ever. The last time
I keep it for work.
The last time
if
I had.
If there's anything going on at work that way, I can incidents or something. I can be like, oh, blah blah blah.
Do you feel like you're ever writing a ticket to somebody? And just
it does look like
you're
that
a fucking moron.
Throw it at
him.
Oh,
wouldn't that? But
what are your particulars?
Wrong field to say that kind of thing, but. Throwing that out there.
Yeah.
The
last time I had interacted with a notepad like that, we many years ago we went to a pageant and there were like five of us. Of course, we come up with this idea like at brunch before the pageant. We're all half in the back, so we stop at a Walgreens and we all got notepads with like big feathers on the end, so we could sit at the table during the pageant and make critique notes.
Right.
Well, everybody else let theirs go by the wayside.
Drunk with your big feathers, here's Queen
Mickey. Right. You know, making too fat for that dress or any dress for that matter.
Yeah.
Things like that. So, but I saved mine for years, and in fact, it might be locked away still, or I may have burned it. I'm not sure, but it was
funny. It
was funny to flip back through and read the comments and actually remember who I had written them about.
When I go back through nursing school notes, I don't actually read the notes. I just read all the shit I wrote about people in the margin.
Totally.
Ass white fucktard. This person doesn't shut up.
Knock them out.
Yeah.
Hope I never work with this asshole.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to talk with this mother. Fucker is gonna stand in front of me.
Leave it to Tomo. I'm still Margaret.
Yeah.
Hey. How do you pronounce that one, Tomo?
Yeah.
G'day, mate.
Hag.
Hag?
Hag.
Oh,
Hag.
Mag.
I don't know what you said.
Hag.
I don't know. I'm a hag.
Peg. In some weird fucked up world, the nickname for Margaret is Peg.
Peg.
I've never understood it.
I've never understood
that.
Oh,
I didn't know that either. Because I had
it. It's like Richard to Dick. How'd we get there?
I don't know. That's true.
Yeah. And a lot of people actually, the funny part is, think that Marnie is short for Margaret. How would that come out of
it? Yeah, you're missing a G.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then you'd be Margie.
Oh, God. Come on. There was a wood chipper incident here, you know, in Chandler. But
I know. I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
I didn't see it.
I mean, Sharon,
I got sprayed with that.
Had to have been a mess.
He completely lost his head over it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, just clean off. There it goes.
Clean off.
That's awful though for the small child.
That's the second one in this year. That's the second time. There was another guy who actually.
The fuck do you need a wood chipper for?
Why do we have wood?
They're not really wood chip. Well, there are you know those little things that they shove tree branches in. It grinds it, throws them in the truck.
It's a wood chipper.
Wood chipper.
It is, but I mean, it's not. There are wood chippers that literally just chip the wood. Like you back home, you just take a log and it would just put it into chips.
So it's more of a mulcher, if you will.
Well, it's a fucking
head chopper.
Because all I want to do is get Christmas trees and go around with that thing that you just shove them in.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I want to kill Christmas one tree at a time.
That's what it is.
Assholes.
No, that sounds great.
Earlier this year, and I think it was also in the East Valley, they were doing cleanup around like one of those neighborhoods that have a lake kind of in it, and some trees had blown down around the lake, and somehow the guy got intertwined or caught in the tree, and he went full through the goddamn
ass
thing.
Ass over tea kettle. You can't. I mean, there's no way to. You're not
stopping.
So
I'm going to assume dead?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's no
finding
him.
In a million pieces.
So I'm going to assume that's your partner in the wood chipper?
Yeah, really. Used to work with him.
CSI is going around with like a little.
I guess.
Richard to Rich or Rick to Dick.
Just one of those movies that's not really supposed to be funny, but there's like three lines in that movie that just fucking kill me.
Fantastic.
Don't think I believe in your police work 100% there, Lou.
The reason that that was also funny to me was because I could hear the folks from White Bear, you know, when there's that part there, and they're just standing right at the end of the driveway, just, you know, going back and forth. Oh, how's the weather then? You know, all the weather is just, you know,
and when she meets up, with a friend in the bowling alley,
yes,
at the bar in the bowling alley, just fucking kills me.
But that is all the time. I mean, that. So when I'm watching it, I was hysterical because I'm like, yep. That's
same thing.
You walk up and you just meet up with somebody on the street. You might not have, you could have seen them yesterday. You might not have seen them for the last 15 years. The weather is so nice, don't you think? Oh God, this is just beautiful this time of year. I know, I love it. Yeah. And that fast, and you're going back and forth, and you're thinking the whole time, at least I am, why the fuck am I talking about the weather? Like, it, boom, you just go right back into it.
As you do.
Yeah,
as you do.
Like you do.
Like you do. Aaron from L.A. sent us a link showing the origin of 10 nicknames. If you click on the link in our chat room, take you to that page. And
well, thanks, Aaron.
It'll show you all things from Dick to Richard, Bill to William, Hank to Henry, and so forth. You want to read all about that?
I do.
Okay.
Well, there.
It's exciting. Well, before you get enthralled in the reading of that, you probably just been working every goddamn day. It's going to be my guess for you.
Working, sleeping, more lawn adventures.
Lawn adventures? You went outside?
No.
Oh.
No, I paid someone to go outside. I don't do that.
I know, but I thought maybe you found yourself lost in your front yard.
No, we did the whole winter lawn, and now I don't look
already?
Like, now my house doesn't look abandoned. Yeah, he does it kind of early, but it always greens up really fast and pretty.
It's a little early.
Nice. So I'm the first one to get to a pretty lawn.
Well, bitch.
But he cleaned up
but
everything.
But no lemon tree.
And then my accidental, like, absolutely, when I was watching The Big Bang Theory when I was sick, and I let what I thought was a virus onto my Mac. So I decided, because I thought I had to upgrade all this iOS 8 shit my computer, too. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that with whatever's wrong with it and have it just turn into a whole fuckopedia. So I just decided, somebody said, you got to take your whole computer into the Genius Bar and deal with those, you know.
Geniuses.
Window lickers in person. And I'm like, nah, it's not going to happen.
No.
Again, I'll pay somebody to take that with them. So I just called a phone line, and they called me, and we went through it. We shared the computer screen for about 20 minutes, and it's not really a virus. I just allowed some folder to open that allows for all kinds of shit to happen.
Oh.
Just went through, closed the folder, restarted the computer, and bada bing, no more.
She's back in business.
No more weird, really bizarre links. Like, I would hit on something and be like, no, you can't go to that, but here's this vagina. Like,
hello.
Like, it was like a straight porn hell, and I'm like, this would only make sense if I had actually been on a legitimate porn site trying to watch, like, you know, creepy Asian porn, but I was really watching an American sitcom, a very wholesome TV show. Like, and the best part was, it was over The Big Bang Theory that this whole fucking thing started. Like, and it's on 5 times a day. I just was so, like, I needed to watch them in order. I'm like, I can't watch these out of order anymore. So that was funny. So if you have an Apple problem, they're very nice and didn't charge me. I had my credit card ready, and they didn't want my $19.99.
Yeah, very good
They
for
didn't
you.
Ask. I didn't offer. Everything went well.
Well, that's good to know.
How about you, Mr. McKee?
Well, I had an adventure. I went to, and I know that nobody listening nor anybody in this room is going to give a shit about this. I went to, we all know my fascination with buses, right? This whole bus thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, well, I became airbrush. That was when I turned 40.
That was years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago to be exact.
Still using those pictures.
Damn right.
They're good pictures.
I would too.
They were good pictures. Yeah. So I had become friends with this group on Facebook in reference to the specific bus I'm looking at as a Silver Eagle bus. And they're so supportive, so information giving, and they're just a group of just good old boys, but their wives, their families, they're all into it. They, you know, they travel across country in these things. They convert what were passenger buses into the big, like, entertainer style RVs, like fancy $150,000 buses with everything in them that do, you know,
all the accoutrements,
all of that stuff. So anyway, I got an education from them. There was a bus out in about an hour north of L.A. so that we went to look. And the guy was like, he was so excited to go look at this bus. He's like, I'm like, well, I can't afford to pay you. And he's like, it's going to be an adventure. He's a retired Riverside County sheriff who he and his wife over 8 years built their own bus, yada, yada, yada. I drove out there. I stayed in a hotel by myself. Got up the next morning. He and I loaded up tools, shot up the freeway, went up there. Took us 2 hours to get there. Went around the bus, went through everything, decided it was a complete piece of shit, and came back. But one thing that nobody can.
How fun for you.
It was very fun. It was cool. It was a letdown because the bus was a great price, but it was just complete rusted through, just shot. Yeah. But the education, that's what I really took out of this. It was phenomenal what I learned about these huge, massive pieces of equipment that I never knew about. So, you know, one thing that you can't unlearn something. Mm-hmm. People, if you get educated.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Well, you can forget. Well, that's, yeah. But I mean, but typically, if somebody learns you something, it'll stick with you.
Names also are disposable.
Oh, yeah, sometimes names are.
Oh, I proved that over and over again.
Anyway, that was it. So I ran out Sunday afternoon, came back last night, got back about 9:45. The other thing I really found out is if you do Google Maps for your GPS, because of all the traffic data that they absorb in and they know where construction is and speed zones change, all that, they are almost to the minute exactly right on when you're going to arrive at your destination.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It's really funny. I was really surprised because literally it came up and I was texting them as I was rolling out. And I'm like, well, I'm going to apparently arrive at 6:42. And they're like, LOL, whatever. And literally I rode it like at 6:43.
Nice.
Because I had stopped. I don't know if I'd stopped what I'd done.
You're late.
It was.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was surprised at how accurate when you're even at 400 miles across, how accurate they are. So anyway, that was it. But it was interesting and fun for me, and it was a big learning experience, and I enjoyed it. And we're not done. At some point, I swear to God, I'm going to have.
You will.
If the goal is a 1973 Model 5, that's the one I want. She's 40 feet long. She's 102 inches wide. She's a big girl.
I've met her.
Yeah. Can't wear a sundress.
Not to save her life.
Every time
except
I look
for to
in
Walmart,
the mirror.
Then it's appropriate.
Yes. Then it's sure.
Has she ever been to the Cash?
Yeah. It's lesbian bars and the Walmart.
May I just come
visit sometime.
What do you got, Marn?
Well, this is what we have for Al from when we went to Santa Barbara.
Oh!
That is the bottle of wine, but I kept thinking Aaron would be with to be able to.
From Deep Sea Wine Tasting is what that bag said.
Ooh. Oh, from Arroyo Grande Valley.
I don't know
Is. We couldn't make it up north further where you had said that you wanted a
vignette. That's where I was heading you, was Arroyo Grande.
Yes, exactly. That's why you said the word vignette and Arroyo Grande, and I said, well, we're not going to make it there. But look, these things are together.
Those two words coming. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope that's enjoyable.
Well, you'll find out next Tuesday.
No, I won't.
Tune in, won't you?
Yes.
Why, you're not gonna
hear? Tune in. No, not for the next 2 weeks.
She's gone for two, and then we are not on, what the hell day are we not on? It's the 17th of October, I think we're gone.
No, well, it's that week.
It's that week. Okay.
It's for, well, so three.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's the 14th. My bad. Well, the 14th, we are gone for that week. Al's, oddly, you're out of town.
Puerto Rico.
That's the weekend that Mom and I are going back to Missouri. Almost willingly.
almost.
Borders on.
No, it's Mom's older sister's birthday, and it's a milestone. It's 70, so Mom wants to go back for that, and doesn't want to travel alone. And I'm like, no, I'll go. So we're gonna go back. I get to see a couple relatives that I haven't seen in a long time.
Good.
So
that's always nice.
Cool. And go back to the home where you were with me, back where Mike lives. Yep. So I'll get to go home and see more renovations that he's done to the house.
That'll
so.
Be interesting.
And it's the first time.
And it'll be the first time you'll see it without the
yard in front of it.
Yard.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's the freeway. Right
Pull up. Could you stop?
Yeah.
Thanks. Then get out.
Look both ways before going on the porch.
Almost. It is. It's pretty close.
Don't open the door. Boom. There goes the mailman.
Oh,
well, we liked it.
Yeah, and it is pretty close, and that's really unfortunate that it is.
What about that house next door? The
leveled. Gone.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah. They leveled that. I mean, all that's there is the circle drive that was there, and then they've made a new road that goes back to the land. Because clearly what's happening is they're taking that beautiful acreage, and the lovely thing is that it goes from the level, and it dips, and then it rolls up, and there's a hill in the back, and they're just going to make it all houses. I mean, I'm sure it'll be lovely houses, but still, it's crazy. My cat is, for some reason, losing her mind
out
there. Don't know what she's doing.
She'd like to try some vignette.
She's very hungry.
I fed them before the show thinking I would shut them the fuck up, but apparently didn't do it.
Let her in. Get her on the payroll. We got pictures to take.
Get her on the payroll. Well, just because you want to make friends
with her. Five ways, yeah. How's my math?
Something.
I was told there would be no mess.
The best thing I can say about this bottle, this glass of wine I'm drinking, was that it was $7.50.
Oh, nice. Well.
For the bottle.
Hooray for you.
Cheers.
Very nice.
What do you think we were thinking? $7.50 for what?
Well, $7.50 a glass of wine is also reasonable in a restaurant.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. If you're into,
could
into
be.
That sort of thing.
A little too steep.
A little. All right. It's 7:29. I think we've rambled on long enough. I think it's time to go into headlines, and it goes something like this. Woo! Headlines coming at you. Fever with a feverish pitch.
Headlines coming at you. I was scared for a minute.
It's Headlines Live!
Why are they coming at me? What did I do?
Fuck it, I quit.
Sean Hannity is still an ass.
Oh,
you're the one with the nosebleed.
Colored pants prove you're gay.
Ooh, well, that burns.
Kagan presides over first same-sex ceremony.
Just like crack.
If you're drinking Baileys, you're having gay sex.
And choked for chicken. These and other serious headlines coming up right here on Q Talk America.
I'm on all of my stories. Yes.
I'm enjoying his animation tonight with that. That was very fun.
So far.
Like
well,
it.
The meds kicked in earlier today, so good. I think we're good. Yay.
It's finally. Out. Jesus, we've been slipping in your drink for like 3 years.
He's built a tolerance.
I don't know. I don't know what
Christ
happened.
Christ almighty.
It just said skinny and sweet on the box.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Elle said it was supposed to taste like almonds.
And I smell toast. Why do I smell toast? I don't know. Okay. Well, let's go up north to Alaska for our first story. A reporter from an Anchorage, Alaska TV station revealed on the air that she owns a medical marijuana business and was quitting her job to advocate for the drug. After reporting on the Alaska Cannabis Club on Sunday night's broadcast, this would be two nights ago, KTVA's Charlo Green identified herself as the business owner and said that she would be devoting all of her energy to fighting for, quote, freedom and fairness. Then she used an expletive to quit her job and walked off camera. It sounded something like this.
Now, everything you heard is why I, the actual owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club, will be dedicating all of my energy toward fighting for freedom and fairness, which begins with legalizing marijuana here in Alaska. And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but fuck it. I quit.
And she walked off camera. They cut to the main anchor at the news desk, and she was... She didn't. First she apologized, then she paused, and then she started to start a story, then she paused, and she's like, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Then she started a story. It was priceless. In a statement on KTVA's website, news director Bert Rudman apologized for Green's inappropriate language and said that she was terminated. Well, I think she pretty much quit, sir. I don't think you can really fire her.
In related news, the manager in the booth had a fucking heart attack. And is currently hospitalized.
They haven't heard that kind of swearing since Sarah Palin's last family brawl.
Oh my God, I heard about that today.
Oh, and that, isn't that how Sarah Palin left office? Fuck it, I quit.
Alaska voters decide on November 4th whether to legalize recreational pot. Measure 2 would be similar to Washington and Colorado's legalization laws.
And you know, Alaska's such a weird turd to monitor. Like, you just don't know, like, are they conservative? Are they liberal? You know, they drill, but then they're so pro-environment.
Right, protective of everything.
Environmental. Like,
sure.
I mean, they are, like, as crazy as everyone thinks California is, Alaska's, like, 100 times more crazy about environmental stuff. Like, you just do not fuck with Alaska, and yet they're all about, like, don't put that piece of paper on the ground, but please drill your pipeline. Like, they're just, there's such a, like, a clusterfuck of, you never know where they're coming from. Like, we're drill, baby, drill, but sweep up after, you know what I mean? Like, mind the seal, but if you spill a little oil on it, you know what I mean? They're like,
this makes
just,
total sense to me, though. Like,
sponsored by Dawn.
They make your hands.
Just promise to wash all the ducks.
It takes grease out of your way.
So there's never any way to know. Like, the
have
crazy
a duck wash.
They had the crazy, you know, they had the one senator for years, Murkowski, I think his name was. And then his daughter lost to Sarah Palin's candidate, the primaries.
Okay.
And then she went as a write-in candidate, and she won her Senate seat as a write-in. Like, I mean, crazy fucking shit. If you watch their politics, it's insane shit.
Oh, I haven't followed at all.
Because they had one senator for like 50 years, I mean, and now they got his daughter, but she lost her primary to Sarah Palin's fucktard, and then she won as a write-in independent, so now she's...
I mean, aside from the, what, Exxon Valdez and Palin, I don't even know Alaska exists up there. I just don't even think about it.
You can see Russia.
Beautiful places. And
part according to what I heard.
Well, yeah. No, and not only that, but then...
But from her house,
it's a good property. When the president of the Ukraine was just here in D.C., they scrambled fighter jets from America because they're... I know, your pussy's yelling at me.
Somebody may have to...
Continue on. I'm gonna deal with that.
Our drinking phrase may be, your pussy's yelling at me again. but the president of Ukraine was here in the Washington, and some Russian
in the Washington
jets,
did he say?
Oh, I was trying to in Washington.
No, stop interrupting. I was like, what?
I was somewhere between the Capitol and Washington.
Yeah, I got very confused.
But Russian jets approached our border in Alaska, and they had to like do some scrambling around and find out what they wanted. But it was very odd.
They were just flying into base, maybe their own.
I want to be the fighter pilot.
Kidding, yeah.
I was kidding. Hurry, what are you doing?
Yeah,
yeah.
And now in these days of like shooting things down, like
right.
Hey, Boris.
So yeah,
why are you coming over here?
Like the Syrian jet that just goosed Israel, and you can't goose us. They fucking shot that puppy down.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Moose and squirrel.
We're making trouble for a moose and squirrel.
I just love that. That was one of my favorite lines from Will and Grace. Honey, what's going on in your hair? Looks like you got moose and squirrel in there.
Nothing up my sleeve. Presto. Oop, gotta get a new hat. I used to love Rocky and Bullwinkle. I leave the room and that's when you start talking about shit I like. Jesus.
Yeah, but different.
Different. And I've been trying to get her off the moose and squirrel, and I couldn't lead her back.
Well, we're going to find out this Tuesday how this wine goes, I guess, huh?
Well, because I think the 750 bottle is going to taste the same no matter what I do to it.
Okay. Gotcha.
Have you been doctoring it? No?
No, I'm just saying that the open aged and aerating in the fridge can't hurt it.
Got it.
Oh. It tastes like 750.
Well,
you know what it tastes like? $7.50.
Well, I hope that tastes like $8.
We're gonna find out in a minute.
I'll take $7.51 at this point.
So Sean Hannity, seriously, still an ass. Uh-huh. Sean Hannity is just awful, and he's very upset because of the Adrian Peterson reacting to the child abuse charges, mm-hmm. and how government may be getting involved in how we parent.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. You should have told me. I could have been so ready.
On last Tuesday, on his radio show, when he reacted to this, he said that he's concerned that parents will be prohibited from teaching their kids that being gay is not normal.
He has a radio show,
what?
Too?
Oh, sadly. But he writes radio. I think he has a podcast as well. He's fucking everywhere.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
He's not a great clip, so I'll tell you that.
This is...
he should take some lessons from that... what's her... Oh, God, I fucked up the whole joke. Rachel Maddow. She's got good hair.
She's got some nice hair.
Yeah. Only one of us can have this haircut.
He says, this is my problem with liberals. And I love that it comes... You know, this is my problem with liberals, he says.
Bastards.
Here's where my fear
just
goes.
Just the one?
You guys want to tell parents what they can and cannot do. For example... Is it's going to become illegal if a parent teaches the politically correct view that being gay is not normal? My problem here, and he goes on and on about the fact that we send the kids off to school and then maybe they're taught that God is dead. Anyway, and maybe they're taught that it's okay to have sex. Maybe they're taught values that contradict with what parents are teaching, whatever it happens to be. You know, Heather has two mommies, daddies, roommates. Where does he come up with this shit, quite frankly?
Yeah, over Adrian Peterson beating the shit out of his kid.
Right,
he
exactly.
He gets to Heather
yeah.
has two mommies.
Yeah, and yeah. how, where that comes from, I don't know. So
that's because he's desperately in need of therapy.
And to get laid is going to be my guess.
But certainly not ex-gay therapy, because he's, similarly, he responded to that when New Jersey passed the law about protecting minors from that ex-gay therapy a while back.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
Is there freedom of religion anymore, or is that banned in New Jersey? And he's attacked Kevin Jennings, founder of Glisten and former assistant deputy secretary of the Office of Safe and Drug-Free Schools, for promoting homosexuality in the schools. I mean, it's just like this crazy. This isn't liberals kind of going off, you know, what are we going to come up with next? He's a nutbag.
Yeah, this guy beat his kid. way past the point of anyone being able to defend him. Like,
absolutely. Right.
To the point of, like, open sores. Now, and then,
He did have open sores.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He had open wounds and, like, punched him in the head or something. There was some other...
That was a different kid, apparently.
No, but this one he did... There was some other part to it that I heard of.
Leaves. Shoved leaves in his mouth.
Oh, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Punch the head, leaves in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Whatever. One time you're a scarecrow, next time you're not.
It was, it was leaves off the switch, maybe.
So, But the thing on, did you see the thing on his own show where the child psychologist is telling him, like, this is just proven again and again. And I've listened to, after our conversation last week, I've listened to a lot of very intelligent people. And I have to say, I was completely wrong about raising kids the way you were raised. Like, sure. And the cycle of violence at some point. So we're done.
Yeah.
But he starts beating his desk with a belt.
I didn't get to see that.
And
I
having
saw
a temper tantrum.
With Hannity?
Hannity.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Hannity's clip. He's, no one. She didn't even listen to me on Facebook.
No.
He was my fuck.
No, I saw the poster.
I didn't see it.
I didn't watch the video, but I saw.
Oh,
the post.
Watching the video is the whole joy of it. As he like loses his mind and starts beating the desk with his belt and saying, "This is how I was hit, and I don't need any kind of therapy. I turned out fine." And
I'm fine.
This is the video we're going to show your therapist as to why you're going to be back for sessions 2 through 100.
Right.
It's a complete and total on-air meltdown.
Well,
and even, like, Colbert went after him, and it wasn't really that funny because Hannity didn't need to be parodied. It was already the parody.
Okay.
Like, him making a comment and Stephen Colbert beating a desk with a belt would have been the parody, but he already did it.
Sure.
And then screaming out over and over again that I don't need therapy, I turned out fine. It just was like...
Right.
You there's nothing
keep
to do here.
Yourself that.
Yeah, you just proved.
He provided both the commentary and the satire that should follow it from someone else.
Stephen Colbert's like, just show the clip and next.
Ordered on Genius. Yeah. Oh,
well, and it makes it one of those things that if you're not already very okay with or proud to say, you know, yeah, I'm a Democrat or I'm liberal, you are now.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would rather be known or compared with people that are awful that say, don't beat your kids. Maybe it's okay that Heather has two mommies or two daddies. And, you know, all this as opposed to this crazy kind of...
The
gay therapy and that we have to teach kids that gay isn't normal. And just all kinds of weird shit that he comes up with. And the problem is that there are so many followers that go, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I agree. And that's what's so fucking frightening.
That'll come up in the couple of new shows that started this week.
Okay.
I went on some of their fanboy pages, which they already have, and we'll go over like how you get from a conversation about A into Obama's a communist.
Of course.
And all black people are criminals. Like, it was just an amazing twist of like, wow, that's an interesting critique of a show that has nothing to do with that.
Right.
But I do have to put a correction. We were talking about Refrigerator Perry, and I've been quoting this sports analyst from like 2 years ago over and over again about Refrigerator Perry not being comparatively big. He was a big guy, 6'2", almost 300 pounds, but they were constantly on him to lose weight.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly, his weight was an issue, where now they're making him that big. So he was a big guy. He's not comparatively small, as I was led to believe by this commentator on one of the concussion shows that they were talking about. But the thing is at his size, he was constantly being hounded and eventually got the boot for just being too big.
Too big. There were a couple on the Vikings that were like that, too.
Yeah. So it was just kind of funny
bulk
that...
up. Yeah. Absolutely.
I was trying to find on, real quickly, I was trying to find if there was just that little clip, and I'm not...
Oh, for Hannity?
Right.
I have it, if you want me to send it to you.
Yeah, do, right, quick. Okay. I just wanted to play the audio to show the absurdity of this fucktard, to use Al's word.
And then the other Fox News on that same topic, that Stephen Colbert, like, just you couldn't make fun of it because it was so bizarre. There was nowhere to go. But like this whole thing with no boots on the ground, like that they're just stressing it. And Obama's, and you all know this is going to turn into boots on the ground. This is going to turn into a full scale war. Like, it's the whole their little greet us as liberators shit. But this time, you know, we all know it's coming. Like, this is ugly. So Fox News is doing this whole thing about, they're just trying to make fun of Obama, that they're going to eventually catch him in the lie of that there's going to be boots on the ground, or that there's advisors there now that are military. So they had all these different – so it was like they're – you know how they stand one message all day?
Mm-hmm.
So they were
Benghazi.
Showing, like, usually it's Benghazi. This time it was boots.
They default
so
that.
So they had all these different people like showing boots and showing which boots are going to be on the ground. Well, maybe he just doesn't mean that this type of boot is the one that's going to be on the ground.
Shut up.
Doc Martens will be on the ground.
Oh my God. So you got to watch it. Stephen Colbert, always brilliant.
Oh, no. Yeah. I did see that one because he kept pulling the shoes over. And I watched that whole thing.
Right, but his thing isn't even necessary because they already did the parody. Like, what he did was just what they did. They went to every, and it was on every show that day. So they have every single Fox anchor talking with someone about boots and showing boots.
Stupid.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're already building in their own satire so that when Stephen Colbert goes to make fun of them, it's really not necessary.
Just play the clip. We're done.
That's, and really, it's all you have to do. You don't have to go any further. It's insanity.
I think I sent you the wrong thing.
Well, I don't know. You'll send me something. Yeah. I'll find something. It'll be
great. Okay. We got to beat that one down. So.
Oh, funny.
I like it. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Well, there is some truth to the effectiveness of folktale remedies and old wives' tales when it comes to serious medical issues. And you being a restaurateur worker, Al, you'll probably follow along with this. According to the findings from a team from the Detroit Medical Center, Dr. Sonal Sariaya, I have no idea if that's right or not, but don't know.
That's awesome.
And her,
listen, cunt flaps.
And her colleagues in Michigan, listen to this, her colleagues in Michigan found that packing strips of cured pork in the nose of a child who suffers from an uncontrollable, life-threatening nosebleed can stop the hemorrhaging, a discovery that won them the 2014 Nobel Prize, the annual award for sometimes inane yet often surprisingly practical scientific discoveries. This year's winners, honored Thursday at Harvard University by the Annals of Improbable Research magazine, included a team of researchers who wondered if owning a cat was bad for your mental health, Japanese scientists who tested whether a banana peel was as really as slippery as cartoons would lead you to believe, and a Norwegian biologist who tested whether reindeer on the Arctic archipelago of Svalbard were frightened by humans dressed to resemble polar bears. As has become the custom, real Nobel laureates handed out the prizes, and winners were given a maximum of 60 seconds to deliver their acceptance speeches.
Now, that was what was the cure for the nosebleed?
Sticking pork. Continuing on, if I may.
Oh, okay.
Sticking pork products up the patient's nose was a treatment of last resort when conventional treatments had failed. The doctor said that it was only used for a very specific condition known as Glassman thrombosthenia. A rare condition in which blood does not properly clot. But apparently the salt and something else in the meat itself causes clotting to happen that otherwise would not happen. So we had to do some out-of-the-box thinking. So that's where we put our heads together and thought to the olden days and what they might have done. The 4-year-old child's nostrils were packed with cured pork twice, and according to their study, the quote, the nasal vault successfully stopped nasal hemorrhage promptly and effectively. I mean, they don't occur. However, the last line. Hang on, I have to scroll down to this. Although his research has legitimate scientific value. Oh, wait, that's not the word. Wait, there's another line here that says he does not encourage you shoving pork in your nose.
Yeah. I encourage you to shove pork in your mouth. It does have something to do with sodium, and I'm sure Harrison's all smarty pants about chemistry, and she took 9 million chemistry classes. Mm. So, about how it works. And I kind of know, but I couldn't say it out loud.
Okay. Good story.
I kind of understand.
I wouldn't at all.
I do enjoy your commentary.
I would have completely bought whatever you had said.
Now, this is kind of it. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name because he's from the University of Japan. He studied the slipperiness of banana peels as an extension of his research into human joint lubrication. Says, I've gotten the evidence that the friction under banana peels is sufficiently low to make us slip, however. The other good thing about his study is that his colleagues got to eat a lot of bananas. Several scientists won for studying the mental health of cat owners. The bottom line is, owning a cat may be hazardous to your health, according to their studies.
Well, it's a sign that your mental health is declining.
Now, Dr. David Hanauer...
As the number of cats increases.
Dr. David Hanauer of the Department of Pediatrics at the University of Michigan and co-author of one of the studies says that there's no reason for cat owners to panic. It may simply be that cat owners... that people with depression get cats because they feel depressed. He said, I am in no way telling people to get rid of their felines.
Until the day you say my cat is my best friend,
they're not.
And you're not speaking about Cat Carlson,
right?
Then,
right.
Well, I wouldn't say my cat.
That is a sign of mental illness as well.
Oh, she's writing something.
Oh, yeah. She's doing the graph of number of cats to mental illness.
Where am I? I have two cats, Cat.
That's
now,
awesome.
And one of them was screaming incessantly outside the door moments ago.
Yeah,
so
his pussy was yelling at us.
Where am I?
That's not bad.
Oh, good, good. Low. Low. Now, well, and I've had cats my whole life. I mean, they've been.
Oh, we're going to have to move up.
There it goes up. You just markedly went up.
This is a story we'll continue to follow.
Gotcha. Wait. Stay tuned.
Because I saw in my notes that we lost her as a listener last week.
Who did we lose?
My mother.
Oh, why?
She's there.
Oh, number of cats on the crazy scale.
We lost her because of something we said?
What did we say?
I don't remember.
Oh, there's any number.
I yelled out cunt.
We almost won her back with cunt flaps.
Yeah.
So close.
Last week's listeners lost was my mother, Korea,
the entire country. Wait, north or south?
We'll just go with the whole peninsula.
Stacey Lewis.
Yeah. Or what are we using? Archipelago.
Stacey Lewis.
What's the word you whipped out earlier?
What?
What's the word you whipped out earlier?
Archipelago? Yeah. I don't know. That's a candle company.
Fancy. I don't know. Autumnal?
I'm keeping track.
I'm pretty sure. The spring equinox enthusiasts are off. Oh, they're gone.
Oh,
if this is the right Dawn, and I should probably look at her Facebook page and find out personal information about her. But she's from my high school, and she's one of my favorite people in my high school. And
don't be hating.
And we ended up running into each other just randomly on a flight across country one time, and sat near each other or next to each other and talked the whole time. But she was, God, I should find out if she's like married with children that she can't like hear the story, but she used to keep Jack Daniels in her locker at school.
Yes.
That a girl.
And, you know, Dawn, you can feel free to say that was someone else, but
allegedly.
But she was the Rizzo from Greece of our high school.
Oh, like, I love it.
You know what I mean?
Did you do musical numbers with her?
No.
Oh, thought for sure you wouldn't.
No, she was never in drama club, but she was part of the Stolen Lockers Club.
Nice.
Pregnancy scare. You actually said that to Al? Like, he would be part of it?
Well, because she was the Rizzo of the high school. I was just wondering.
I was like, PG, oh, I thought, but not like the movie.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to think that he was involved in a pregnancy scare.
No, I was asking about Rizzo. That's one of the qualifications. Okay. When you go down the checklist, am I Rizzo?
Am I Rizzo?
40 years old? Check.
Got it.
Nice. Yeah.
Cats?
Pregnancy scare? Check.
Cats?
Done.
Cats?
Check.
No cats.
Got it. There you go. Well, you just filled out the entire crazy checklist.
You are Rizzo. Yep. Congratulations.
Well, those crazy Kazakhstanis. I have no idea if I said that right.
You did.
You did.
Okay. Nice.
According to what I've been hearing.
Yes. Kazakhstan.
From the cats.
Politician says that gays can be identified by colored pants. By colored.
Like African, oh, God.
African American pants? Or how do you mean that?
Yeah, really? Like, what, do I have the Lou Rawls of jeans?
Yeah.
Is that what I have?
The Barry Whites,
okay. The Jamie Foxes of pants.
Yeah.
Write that down.
We've lost all the African Americans.
Sorry.
Sorry about that, brother.
Yeah. And now they're coming here.
Why are you going to be hating?
It was like listening to Dean Martin talk to Sammy Davis Jr. like they were both
cool.
Just sad.
Oh. Continue.
Well, a politician in Kazakhstan has claimed blood test for degeneratism.
Ooh, that's nice.
I like that. Can identify gay people while calling for homosexuality to be criminalized, describing it as a threat to national security. He was standing before a poster claiming that homosexuality is a threat to the nation. His name is Doran. I practiced this, but it's not going to work. And it wasn't
pop,
a click.
I thought the pop was part of the name.
The gods must be crazy.
Yeah.
Baba Muratov?
Ooh,
sure.
Spell it.
Baba Muratov? There you go.
No.
Baba Muratov?
You spell it, bitch.
B-A-B-A. Yeah. M-U-R-A-T-O-V.
Yeah, Baba Muratov.
T-O-V. I almost think...
I'd go with Baba Muratov.
Russian.
If it were me.
Maybe.
Baba Muratov.
But Muratov.
Smirnoff.
Babaloo!
Babaloo!
But what are our last... Oh, Jesus Christ. And there goes Cuba. And the embargo's back.
In a tribute to Desi Arnaz.
Somebody watched The View today.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
No?
What's the last two letters?
T-O-V. It's like it's Russian.
T-O-V. We're going to go with Tov.
Tov.
No. I'm changing my vote.
I like it.
Baba Muratov.
He is the leader of the nationalist Balashik movement. Of course he is. God bless you.
Yeah.
Petitioned the government to ban so-called gay propaganda in the country. Baba Muratov urged a ban on gays from holding public office, serving in the Kazakh army.
We didn't stop him holding hands. That's good. No, we can hold hands. No office.
Kumbaya is fine. And said it would be easy, that it would be easy to identify gays through DNA testing and because they wear colored pants. Yes, of course. We have stooped so low that LGBTs no longer hide their orientation. One can see a lot of people in the city's malls and other public places. These are young people in colored
pants.
But
wait, in that statement,
yes.
What's the word that you just used? If he
malls.
Said, no. If in that statement he said their orientation, that's not, that's letting them know that that's how they're wired. That's not, he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Oh no, he is.
I don't know why I'm so on point with that fucking word, but when you said orientation, it's not like everybody says it's a disease and you can do testing, you can be cured. Orientation, that's how you're wired.
Mm-hmm. Well played.
I'm here to fucking help today with those cunt flaps.
I do have to say, I would like to a point for the defense on this one.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, you do have pink pants.
Well, no, but I do not. I only wear khakis and jeans. Yeah,
you have.
There are some pictures on Facebook.
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
There,
you have a salmon sweater.
I just loved it.
Sweaters are different.
Especially if they're cable knit.
And we still do not have absolute proof that those were my pants. They weren't borrowed from my friend Amy.
They were on you.
Oh, yeah, I was wearing them.
Yes, it's the gay wearing the colored pants.
Proprietorship is what we're arguing here.
Okay, I see.
Christ semantics on the
goddamn God damn it. And I thought I was going to take Tim down with this ship, and instead I went down. But Tim did have a pair of fire engine red or candy apple red, depending on your orientation. Corduroy pants that he wore to like 6th or 7th grade.
Zip, zip, nice. zip.
And not only was there a small fire, but
my crotch is burning.
I just remember being like, yeah, there's times that even I have to pick on us. Like,
the fact that this is like a statement. That
there's
this
a line,
this
and those corduroy
is
pants are way on the other. Draw me a graph. Because those pants are off
That's
it.
Right.
Off the chart. Charts. We need a chart.
We're at like 30 cats.
Two pairs of red corduroy pants.
Both fire engine and candy apple.
We're going to have to get her colored pencils.
I can do that. Now wait a minute. Is that to say if I reach that point with cats, do I have to wear pants?
Now we're at a bell curve. He peaked at his gayness at the tender age of 12.
Red pants and two cats, and
with a fire cross that can only happen from corduroy in the winter.
No running.
Yeah. And funny that he had fire crotch and does not have red pubic hair.
Judge's ruling?
Crazy. Done. Yeah. Tomo, I know they're both colors. I just can't remember from memory which I would use.
I like the fact that Tomo is only concerned that you realize that those are
both
colors.
Which, to clarify.
Which you was
and
it?
And they are two distinct colors of red. One is much brighter than the other.
Is it blush or bashful?
Oh, yeah. Pink and pink.
It's pink and pink.
Oh my God!
Well,
so it's the young people in Kazakhstan that are wearing the colored pants. This means that they no longer hide their orientation.
Are you still on the story?
I am, because I'm going to finish it.
God, good. Good for you. God damn.
I think it's very, I think it's very easy to identify a gay person by his or her DNA. A blood test can show the presence of degeneratism in a person. I want to know how that works, Harrison.
Well, I want the blood test for like whatever proves stupid in a person, because he got it.
Jesus, he's
him
full.
And Hannity both.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, suppressing activities of the LGBT community in Kazakhstan is extremely difficult because there's no law in our country prohibiting this type of activity, it's now called apparently. That is the promotion of homosexuality. While homosexuality is not illegal in Kazakhstan, it now becomes LGBTQ, according to this. People in the country often face significant discrimination and harassment. And asshat, Baba Ganoush, has called for a reinstatement of the country's anti-sodomy laws that were overturned in 1990.
Well, how about the anti-pant color laws?
Now,
apparently.
Benetton
had a sale.
The United Colors.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. What was your question?
What?
Yes. 7.
Yes. $49.95.
What does...
Serves for.
Yeah. What?
Sauce on the side.
$2.95.
What does the Q stand for in LBGT?
Questioning.
Questioning?
Oh, for the love of fuck.
Queer. And or queer. And or queer.
No, it can't stand for queer.
No, because no, that's...
Be like, put an F in there for faggot, too. I mean, that's...
LGBT.
No.
No, it is questioning.
Queer question. Means a whole different thing, though.
It does.
Oh, like what?
Odd.
You can look it up.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Queer means a whole different thing. It just doesn't mean, it's not a blanket statement for.
Because if it goes back to odd, it means we're going back to the original usage of the word. When something was queer, it was odd, it was different.
Right. And so now people who identify as queer are not comfortable identifying as lesbian or gay or straight or bi.
Oh, you know
any
what?
Of the others.
They got to get their own parade. I'm not putting up with that shit.
We block off 3rd Street for one time a year for that shit.
I could hold my contempt for the questioning.
But that's why the alphabet's there. Just everybody come on in. Who gives a shit? Just be
done. I'm not down with queer.
Well.
No.
Well.
Got some news for you.
Just telling you.
Pretty sure you're already hip to the
DNA to determine what is a spring, summer, autumn, or winter person.
Good for
there
that.
There
you
go.
I'm an autumnal.
I wonder what Tomo is. Which season are you, Tomo? Do let us know in the chat room.
I feel like he's a summer.
We are in the middle of the headline segment coming up later. Al with entertainment. We got Kat Carlson with sports and other stuff. Thoughtful Vulgarity rounds us out at hour 3. The drinking word is coming up in just seconds. Stick with us here on Q Talk America. There is plenty to come. And I'm sure we're going to come up with some other name that we fuck up, like Bada Muratov.
Baba Ganoush.
Baba Ganoush. There it is. We'll be back in just seconds right here.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, one and all. This is Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee here on a Tuesday night with you. Thank you for being with us. This is The Show on Q Talk America. We come to you live every Tuesday night from 7 to 10 Arizona time. We realize it is an entirely different day for some of you. Tomo, for example, in New Zealand, it is Wednesday afternoon. I thank you for listening, of course. Tomo, as you do just about each and every week. Yeah, it's like Tomo's listening to us before we even get there.
He's our
it's
very own Jeff.
Crazy. Jeff. You're right. I never thought of it like that.
He is. He's in the future, as are all of our podcast download listeners.
Yes, because they're
listening from the future.
Oh, that's a weird way to think about that.
I know. I'm going to listen in the future,
I was told
too.
There'd be no math. So this is, okay, Dawn just answered back. This is, and she has a new last name now that I looked on Facebook, but it's Dawn Scald. She was seriously like the coolest girl in our high school.
Okay, and she's listening?
I love her.
She's been listening. This is the first time I think she's listened live. She listens every week.
Oh, okay.
And I can't remember something I recommended she loved. I recommend so many things. But
true that.
Oh, I think it was Veep.
Oh.
I want to say that she watched Veep because of all that we said about it. And
someday I'm going to get to all these shows when I have nothing else to do. We do round out the show.
Dawn Scald Cannon is her new last name.
With the cast, we have Kat Carlson sitting right here. That's one waving her hand. We've got Marnie Ryer and Al Perkins, who's feverishly looking through his iPad to figure out who he went to school with.
Oh, I knew I went to school with her. But she comments every week about the shows, and then like she puts, she's on our page.
Oh, okay. She gets our updates.
Yeah, she gets the updates.
Oh, that's the Dawn. I keep thinking it's somebody local.
No.
Oh,
But she did put a couple of weeks ago about a show, and I'm pretty sure it was Veep that she watched it due to her, because of our recommendation, and had to get new couch covers because
it shows hysterical.
It is the beginning of hour 2.
That
we
show
are
is rough.
We are in the middle of our headline segment, but before we do that, we have got to take care of business about our drinking word.
And now a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, I'm not going to work that hard. The word's cunt flaps.
If it ain't flapping, don't fix it. I mean,
singular or plural.
Well, on the clip on you on you Facebook, it was S.
That's all, folks.
Fuck you, people.
Oh, I like Buddy thinks that my opening will be here longer than 2 weeks. Buddy, that'd be fun. Come play with us.
If you can.
Because eventually a good movie will come out. It hasn't happened yet, but soon.
Someday.
Yeah.
Got it.
They're all hiding in Toronto.
Is it yours or is it mine?
The border.
Is it my story or your story, Martin?
Oh, it's yours.
We were on pants. It's you.
Got it.
Hang on. We were on pants.
I'm going to type this in so that I can make sure that people know that our drinking word is... There it is.
There you go.
I like how I can just type in, you know, immediately.
It looks like you're describing us. And now a word from Cunflaps.
Stop calling me
names. I feel like it should all be in capital letters.
Hey, I can't.
I'm not gonna make... Oh my God, I can't use the shift key too.
Oh, I don't think we've ever, if we've done a story from Idaho, I don't remember it, but here we are.
Oh, no.
A car full of teenagers crashed in Idaho after authorities say one of the passengers lit the driver's armpit hair on fire with a lighter.
Oh. Ow.
The Idaho Statesman reports all five young people in the Ford Bronco were hurt in the crash Sunday and had to receive medical treatment. Authorities say two of the passengers were thrown from the vehicle, but none of the five suffered life-threatening injuries.
That means they were drunk.
The Ada County Sheriff's Office says the rollover occurred after a 16-year-old boy who was goofing off in the front seat and also lit the 18-year-old Tristan Myers armpit hair on fire while he was driving. Deputy cited Myers with inattentive driving, while the 16-year-old was cited for interfering with the driver's safety.
I would say arson.
The passengers' names were not released, and a court date has not been set for Myers, who has no listed phone number.
That was going to be my first question. Were any of them named Carlson or Tenney?
Oh, you have relatives?
Many.
Oh, yeah. Well. Yeah. We might have to do some. May have to Google that. I don't know.
Good people of Idaho, why give up?
I may have to call my grandmother.
A good clean fun of cow tipping. You know what I mean? Stick to what you know.
It's not that clean.
Is it possible, though?
They poop a lot.
When you tip them?
All the time.
The people
all
in the car?
Time.
I'm
no,
just,
the cows.
Maybe.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But is that tipping?
Do people actually tip cows?
You know, I've never actually accomplished it. We've tried many times. My grandparents have a farm in Idaho. And so we just kind of grew up harassing the cows like that. And we've tried many times, and we would really just piss them off and just get scared and laugh hysterically as we were running for the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I never would have done that. And you'd have to go through fecal matter. You'd have to go through cow fecal matter.
Yeah.
You don't even want to know.
No.
One piece of dog poop on the lawn, and I'm off for a year.
And then it dries up, and you use it as firewood, and you throw it at your cousins.
No, you use it as frisbees. You used to throw it across the
barn. Oh, my God.
You're just chucking shit at each other? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Flinging cow pies at your cousin. His head is like sport.
I'm not saying that Niagara Falls is a thriving metropolis. I'm just saying that we knew better than to touch the feces of a creature.
Now, my grandfather used to tell me when we would mow the pasture with the tractors, and you'd roll through piles of cow shit. And he used to say that it was good for the tires. He said it made them last longer.
Nope. Oiled them up.
Nope.
Moisturizer.
Nope.
You probably know. Well, I can't believe you don't know this. And how has it not been in a movie somewhere? They actually have cow chip tossing as a contest, like at state fairs.
Nope.
Oh, that's fun.
Nope.
Not entering that contest.
No, I'm not saying you're entering it, but I'm surprised you haven't heard.
Who would go watch shit get thrown around?
These two?
No. I didn't say I've gone. I said
I'm there. How much are tickets?
How much is there drinks? We'll go if there's drinks.
Nope.
Oh, come on.
I have liquor at home. I am not desperate for entertainment. You know what I mean?
It's sports.
I have full paid cable.
Really?
I do not need to watch cow shit fly through the air.
What if it's followed by a Streisand concert?
Cunt flaps. Then she's lost her voice at that point. If she's out at,
when she starts playing the county fair, maybe I'm not as interested in the Streisand.
And ducking cow shit? No.
No.
I don't see it happening.
I don't think I think Barbara Joan and I are together on this one. It ain't happening.
No.
Okay.
That's frightening, though.
Carry on, Marn.
Carry on.
There are foreigners listening, people. Tom, do the people of your country do strange things with cow shit? Because I'm ready to move.
Yeah. serious.
I thought that's Hannity was the bottom of the barrel until I heard about people paying to watch other people throw couch shit at each other.
And dried, that it sparked.
Dried. It's not.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care what adjective is coming next.
Yuck.
Here's a list of adjectives.
Nope, still not working.
Funny, when you Google cow chip throwing comes right up. Oh, the Wisconsin State Cow Chip Throwing Festival.
Well, now doesn't that just tell you something?
I'm going to put that link. Yeah. I'm going to put that link on the the page. What do we call it, the chat page? I'm going to put that right there. Continue on. They're celebrating 40 years. Oh, we missed it. It was in August.
Well, I was just thinking.
Next year,
State
put
Fair
that on the calendar.
God, yeah. Oh, it's sponsored by Culver's.
No, it's almost State Fair season here in Arizona. Everywhere else, it's shut it all down and board it up.
It's going to get real cold.
I'm going to put this link in the thingy. Go ahead.
So, Justice Elena Kagan.
Oh, I love her. I'm doing them right
absolutely.
Now. He's my pussy type.
Kegels.
Oh,
Kegels.
My bad.
Yeah, gun flaps. The
gun
U.S.
I'm squeezing my gun flaps right now.
I'm over here.
Couldn't tell.
Over here, tightening the gun flaps.
That sounds wrong when you say it.
I'm two for two on drinking words, by the way.
Nicely done. Batten down the gun flaps.
I get lazier and lazier each week. I just sit here and drink whatever she said. Say it. Say it a lot.
Over and over. Yes.
Just repeat it. 3 hours. Call me when you're done.
Call me when you're done.
Well, if you guys heard, I think today Louisiana passed.
Yesterday.
I
think you're right.
Okay. And so I thought this was wonderful. The U.S. Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan has officiated for the first time at a same-sex wedding. It was a Maryland ceremony for her former law clerk and his husband. Kagan presided on Sunday over the wedding, and it was in Chevy Chase, Maryland. That always makes me laugh.
And then me too.
Yeah.
Which came first, the Chevy or the Chase?
Yeah, there you have it. Supreme Court spokeswoman Kathy Arberg said Monday that same-sex ceremony was the first that she had done, that Sandra Day O'Connor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, not shocking at all.
Ruth Bader.
Have previously
she needs an action
officiated.
Figure.
She really does.
She really does.
She is an action figure.
It'll be like my dinner with Ruth Bader.
I mean, she even has, she has the cape already. In a lot of ways.
Buddy, thank you for enjoying that joke at home because no one else got it. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah.
If you throw master in front of it.
Bader.
Master.
Oh, Lord. Bader.
Thank you.
Anyway.
I had to actually do
Marco.
It.
Marco!
Oh, I know this one.
I know this one. Wait. Don't tell me.
Don't tell me. So the upcoming term could be determined whether same-sex couples nationwide have the right to marry under the Constitution.
And it's all about that goddamn Sixth Circuit. And that story is going everywhere now.
It is. Yeah,
oh, and here's another correction that I found out. Ruth Bader, master, does not, mistress, she doesn't hate Scalia.
Oh.
What?
I did not know that.
Turns out that they're like Bill Maher and Cunter and Coulter. Like that they get along. They disagree on absolutely everything, but privately they get along.
Well, that's wild.
Yeah.
Like you don't see that happening at all.
Vehemently disagrees with him on every topic and thinks he should not be making any choices about women, but I guess finds him to be a an okay human being. And
that's odd. What?
I don't know what happened. Carry on. Carry over. Carry Grant.
Angels just got their wings.
Oh, I know what happened. I have my Facebook up on here, and I shouldn't do that. Because I get messages on this computer.
There you go. Yes.
Yes.
Fine, sir. It is you.
Ah, well. I think we've reached the
mediocre, sir. That's not
fine. Fine.
Let's not suck up to him.
Whatever. Well, a North Carolina man is accused of crumbling Pop-Tarts and trying to sell it as cocaine to an undercover officer.
In my book, those are the same thing. I don't keep either one in my house for that same reason.
And for that story, we will go to this audio clip from Buzz 60.
So here's the thing. Pop-Tarts cannot pass as crack cocaine. We know this because apparently someone tried and it didn't work. I don't think anyone has ever even jokingly said, oh man, Pop-Tarts are so addictive, they're like crack. They're not. They're just Pop-Tarts. Cameron Mitchell is under arrest after police say he tried to pass off a crushed up Pop-Tart as crack cocaine and sold it to an undercover cop. According to reports, Mitchell was in the middle of his very legal job of making deliveries to convenience stores when he started talking to the officer. One thing led to another, and these two complete strangers started talking to each other about crack cocaine. I don't know a lot about drug deals, but I guess there's no point in being subtle, right? Especially since undercover cops are under no legal obligation to identify themselves if asked. That only happens in the movies. Anyway, Mitchell went to his truck to get the officer $20 worth of crack cocaine, but came back with some crushed up Pop-Tarts. The crumbs were field tested and came back negative for anything other than untoasted breakfast pastry. Mitchell is charged with creating and selling a counterfeit controlled substance. Which makes sense, because when your other options are things like eggs, bacon, and waffles, Pop-Tarts are kind of a counterfeit breakfast. But 60, now you know, pass it on.
That was delightfully written.
Yes, it was.
I want to give her a buzz.
Field tested.
She gets two cunt flaps up for that one.
My favorite line is, it was
field. I raised my cunt flaps.
Please
you,
put them back down.
Field tested and showed nothing more than untoasted breakfast pastry.
I got to tell you, though, my sisters and I would come to blows over
Pop-Tarts.
Because they come in a box of two foiled, you know, foiled pairs for a total of six.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a total. Oh, yeah, there is a total of six. Sure.
So,
yes, three pastries.
We would get one box a week, so you had to, like, plan out when you were going to have your two toaster pastries.
Oh,
but
yes.
I could not do. I had no. I just couldn't do it.
No control.
No control.
Oh, I'd the eat minute the whole box. They came home, yeah.
And God forbid they were warmed with icing. Oh my
yes.
God, and it's those motherfucking blueberry ones.
Strawberry frosting.
Turns out.
Is my crack.
As I learned one time under an herbal substance's powers, the strawberry and the blueberry. Pretty much indistinguishable because neither fruit are in there.
Yeah, no, there's
no
fruit.
It's the general flavor of berry.
And then
covered in frosting.
Right, yeah.
Oh, delicious.
In the 80s when they came out with that toaster strudel. Remember those commercials?
They are a poor man's imitation.
No, they are not. No, you can heat up that frosting and drizzle it all over the place. Oh, my
Still
God.
Still was not a Pop-Tart, though.
And it was a flaky pit. No, but it was better. I felt like it was a cunt flat up.
A cunt flap. One cunt flap above.
That's what I was thinking. Something like that.
I wanted to go to Kellogg's and I went to blow Tony the Tiger just in appreciation
oh
for the other fine products.
He would have said, "You're great."
All the other wonderful things they do in that zoo.
There's a toucan with who's on crack or something.
And sadly, I tried to pass on the Pop-Tart tradition and bought a box because almost 9-year-old says to me, "What are Pop-Tarts? I don't know what that is." And I went,
"It's like child abuse."
That's like saying,
exactly.
"What's a 45 record?"
So I promptly packed up the entire family and went down to Fry's.
We have to go to the Piggly Wiggly now.
Man your toasters.
Get in the truck. We're going to town.
Susie, grab your cunt flaps.
Where's lighter?
Woo! And I go, and I promptly acquire
cow pie tossing with a Pop-Tart.
Hooey! Well, that smell. That was some cow pie.
Get in the truck. I'm telling the story.
Stringer
I promptly
up.
Acquire said Pop-Tart, strawberry frosted, of course. And I get home, and I'm very excited, and I present them like the rite of passage that they should be.
Yeah.
Motherfucker spits it out.
Oh.
Says, "This is terrible. I don't want this." I scooped that shit off the floor. I was like,
I do, waste not, want not.
I do Seriously. Have to say they're very mid-century treat because they're really dry.
Really dry. But with milk.
But they're delicious with milk.
Lots of milk.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
And if you're like me, it's chocolate milk.
Even. And I never liked the chocolate ones or any of those. Mine was always.
It had to be a fruit of some sort.
The blueberry. And I didn't discover the strawberry much later on a boat trip.
Blueberry?
Blueberry or strawberry?
Strawberry. Red or blue? That's about
it. Chong.
It was just a dye color difference.
He's not kidding either.
What are you going to sell us now, Perkins?
Oh, my friend Patty, if she listens, I was always fucked up around her children, and we were on a camping trip, and I was like 30 sheets to the cunt flaps, sometimes known as the wind, and. And I was just inhaling a box of Pop-Tarts. And
raw.
Just talking about how delicious they were. The blueberry Pop-Tarts were. And all of a sudden, my friend's little 9-year-old kid is like, "You know, there's strawberry." I'm like, "Oh, blueberry, strawberry." And to this day, he's 30-some years old and has two kids.
He remembers
kids,
that.
And he still sees me and he goes, "Blueberry, strawberry." Because he just sat there in front of a fire watching me just, how many of these motherfuckers can I get in my mouth? Yes. And he'll be the one that'll say to the cop, "No, I met the person that thinks Pop-Tarts are crap." I don't even go down that aisle. I can't even go down that aisle in the grocery store.
Oh, my God.
Because I just see the box and I'm like, "Oh, just park it here."
We need to clean up on aisle four. Gentlemen consuming Pop-Tarts.
Bring the broom.
Exactly. Bring the broom.
It's a dry, crumbly snack. Not unlike her vagina. Not unlike her cunt flaps.
Cunt flaps.
Thank you. Thank you, Joan. Ryer, take it away.
Please.
Oh, it's a filthy, filthy show.
It is. Filthy.
I don't think children should listen to this.
I've tried to dissuade PBS from broadcasting it.
In the early hours.
Yes.
Maybe just after the Roosevelts. As a point, counterpoint to the class of the Roosevelts.
So for all the good work these people did, here's what we got.
Here's what they did it for. They got the Hoover Dam. We made cunt flaps. Pick and choose, people. Pick and choose.
Pick wisely.
Please, another story.
Oh, well, if you go to Cameroon, as you do.
Like you do.
Don't drink Baileys.
I work with somebody from Cameroon.
Don't drink Baileys, because it makes you guilty of gay sex.
What?
Bum, bum,
bum. I mean, I used to drink buttery nipples a lot.
Yep, there you have it.
Yeah, but you're also on the gay side.
She's wearing colored pants, people.
You and your scissor sister, you two are...
If khaki is a color, then yes.
It is a hue.
It is the lack of color.
Damn it. The color of cunt flaps. Article 347.
Yuck. Oh my God. If your cunt flaps are khaki, you should seek medical attention almost immediately.
I just wanted to throw in the word. That's all.
I would even pass the urgent care and go right for an emergency room.
Go to the ER. Look at that.
Look at this. Khaki cunt flaps.
It looks like this. It's like khaki.
It's gray and autumnal.
We got khaki cunt flaps over here. Yeah. Somebody come and fix her.
My cunt flaps are autumnal. They were recently diagnosed with an equinox.
They change colors in the cool breeze. Oh,
how I despair.
I don't know
why.
It's
in the leaves.
It's like pumpkin spice.
Don't say it 3 times in front of a mirror. Did you see that? Don't say pumpkin spice 3 times in front of a mirror. A white woman in yoga pants will tell you all the things she loves about fall.
Oh my God.
And the best part was, frequent listeners will know last year how fucking sick I was of hearing about people in pumpkin spice lattes.
Yes. Yes.
And then I realized after a brief inventory that it was all boring white women that were stopping me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to stab you in the neck.
Oh my God.
Back to Cameroon.
Yes, let's
start
go.
Over, please.
Woo. Back to Cameroon.
From the top? from an hour and a half ago? No, can start. No,
90 minutes after alcohol. This time is what it looks like.
Beautiful Cameroon.
In Cameroon, sexual relations, there's a penal code that says sexual relations with a person of the same sex can sentence them to prison terms as long as 5 years in addition to fines.
Well, as long as they're together. I mean, if they're in the same cell.
That's the issue.
Thanks for making it easier.
It's called gay marriage.
Gay and lesbian stereotypes alone are enough to warrant charges. So I found this to be fascinating.
So Barbara Streisand concert, you're going right to jail.
Oh, big time.
Shut up.
And a very few people were actually caught in the act of actually having sex, which is how you end up in prison.
Most of them were lip syncing.
Well, right. I mean, truly.
Mocking a blowjob.
Like Milli Vanilli.
I blame it on the rain.
Because if they were actually caught having sex, that means that someone would have to be breaking the law to
watch them
for their privacy as far as going against their privacy.
Oh, it's a vicious circle.
It is, but the police will ignore the privacy law.
Oh, of course. Fucktards.
Absolutely.
Fucktards. Ooh, are those in strawberry?
And blueberry.
Blueberry. Strawberry.
Once an accusation of homosexuality is made, police arrest based solely on how the individual presents themselves.
Oh. Hi!
Hey! You look so cute in that outfit.
God. Oh my God, are you a hot cop?
Are you a Libra? Okay, sorry.
For example, if a man is found to be cross-dressing, that could be used as proof that he is gay in court.
Have they not seen the Donahue show?
If somebody has a job that doesn't fit their gender, like a male hairdresser, that too could be used against them. A judge
There goes all the hairdressers in Cameroon.
Right. Mm-hmm. A judge convicted one of Togue's clients for feminine mannerisms and for drinking Bailey's Irish Cream, which he felt only a woman would drink.
What? Now, I would arrest someone just on principle for drinking Bailey's Irish Cream.
Well, I enjoy it, personally.
But I do, too. But
well, you're a lady.
At Christmas time. That's a Christmas
drink. My mother loves it.
No, it's delicious.
There's a chromosome that you need.
Put some butterscotch schnapps in there. Yeah, I'll drink it all day.
Maybe.
Is it what makes you, is it double Y, XY? You know what I mean? Like, there's
LMNOP, QRSTV.
It's the Q chromosome, yeah.
Two X's. Oh, it's the Q one.
The interesting thing about this, I thought, was many individuals have been charged after neighbors, family members, or even scorned ex-lovers report them to the police.
Oh, wow.
So just because you're getting thrown under the bus. They, at least in one case, the ex-lover was arrested, though, too, so that kind of backfired.
If I had a choice between drinking Bailey's and getting thrown under a bus, I'm going to look at that bus for a little while.
Ooh, can I buy it?
Take it to the bus.
Sold for slightly less with blood on the tires.
Serves four.
Oh.
There was a... with a Bud Light, freshly squeezed.
There was one guy who sent a picture. He texted a picture of himself holding a sign that read, I'm very much in love with you, to another man. The recipient reported the image as sexual harassment. The police were waiting for the gentleman who sent the text message. They were waiting for him in his home, and he was sentenced to 3 years in prison.
Wow!
The law reads that if you're having sex with sexual relations with a person of the same sex, that's when you're going to go to prison. And Togue, the attorney, says if Roger was sentenced as a homosexual, with whom did he have sex? Because he just sent the text message. But it didn't matter. That's the kind of craziness. The Catholic Church is one of the strongest forces reinforcing anti-gay stigma in Cameroon.
Oddly.
All to our shock face.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know.
I mean,
with
real.
With one hand up a choir boy's ass.
Right.
And
the one time.
One of the pieces that really got me was about HIV outreach, as far as that goes. They can't go to the hospital for treatment or even for a test because they're afraid because of the ramifications. No pun intended with RAM.
sorry she about does the love pun. A pun.
I just do, but that just makes me laugh. Anywho, he knows of at least one case where an individual admitted to a nurse that he'd had same-sex relations, and she called the police. There are a half dozen organizations that do HIV outreach, but they're largely LGBT support organizations that are in disguise. Like, they have to be...
How big is Cameroon?
I don't know. I'd have to look.
It's on the west coast of Africa. Yeah, mm-hmm. Bigger than a bread box.
On a map. Anyway,
I drive.
Togue hopes that local organizations in Cameroon will help people learn that, quote, a homosexual is our friend, is our brother, is our sister, is part of our family, is not a stranger, not someone coming from outside.
Fish are friends, not food.
That's right.
Oh God.
But I couldn't believe that.
Cameroon is pretty big. I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's pretty small based on the continent, but it's between Nigeria and the Congo and Chad. Like, it's kind of three-sided. Huh.
But how fascinating that you know, somebody, you get mad at, within the gay community, gay people just, you know, not that straight people don't, but, you know, it's such a seemingly much smaller community.
Thank God it's on the coast. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's a west coast of Africa.
But it's a small, but it doesn't have a lot of coast. It's got a very little coast.
But the idea that you can look up and be like, well, I'm mad at her right now.
And they
hello, police.
They have delightful French accents. Yeah. A friend, like I said, my a friend of mine is from there. And when I met her, the first thing she said was, oh my God, you got to meet the gays. And, like, introduced me to, like, every gay guy she worked with, like, immediately. She's charming and beautiful French accent.
There's that.
Well, obviously, the people of Cameroon probably are not the the ones that are enjoying the reinforcement of this god-awful.
No, she's a
policing.
Delight.
Tomo posted minutes ago, I miss Pop-Tarts. Were they banned in New Zealand? What happened? Do you not
that dry, crusty food may not translate well.
I don't know.
But it will travel well, because
You should take them some Pop Tarts.
They're packed in foil. I think they stay good for the rest of their, you know.
Probably do. Oh, that's, we should.
After the apocalypse, Tomo, cockroaches and all the Pop Tarts.
Tomo, if you need it, you private message me an address, and we will mail you Pop Tarts.
Oh, that's fun.
That'd be fun to do, to email him Pop Tarts, and then we'll all have Pop Tarts at the same time.
I'm not allowed down the Pop Tart aisle.
Well,
so.
I can go for you. I know. I'm looking for I'm looking for strawberry. Or blueberry.
Or blueberry. Strawberry and blueberry.
And I don't like them, so I'll go get them for you.
But I want toaster strudel. I'll do a Pop Tart, but I like toaster strudel. I really do like those. Yeah. And I don't want that little blonde kid to pop up and go, fuck you.
So many window lickers and cunt flaps and all these stories.
Yes. All right, our final story in headlines. A Florida man has been arrested after he choked his wife for consuming too much leftover fried chicken. WKMG-TV reported that Desmond Brownlee, 45 years old, of Deltona, a city north of Orlando, became angry after he found out that his wife, Shay Alamo, had eaten all the leftovers. He then began to cook more chicken and became more agitated after she criticized his culinary techniques. The argument then escalated to the point where Brownlee pushed his wife onto the bed, struck her multiple times in the face, and choked her, according to a police report posted on the Smoking Gun website. Now,
next week he plays for the Carolina Panthers.
He's a starting running back.
Alamo also said the couple were in a dispute about the care of the woman's mother, according to News Channel 13. After Alamo called 911, Brownlee took the phone from her and said that he would not allow her to call the police. The wife said... and also the report said. But after the altercation was overheard on the phone when officers arrived at the home, the station reported that Brownlee was heard saying, "Shh, do you want us both to go to jail?" Well, Brownlee told officers that he and his wife that his wife went wild and started to slap him, according to the report. Deputies said both had been consuming alcohol and found Brownlee to be the primary aggressor in the situation. The couple have been married for 4 years and have a daughter who was sleeping in the next room as the incident was occurring.
So she got no chicken.
Brownlee was charged Monday.
Sad face.
Yeah.
Brownlee was charged Monday with felony battery and tampering with a witness and taken to the Volusia County Jail. He was later released, officials said. No word on the chicken.
I like that. She was complaining about his culinary skills while eating all the chicken he made.
Or somebody made. I don't know who made it.
Well, maybe the next bite will be better.
But eating it faster than he could make it.
Right.
It's not even left over yet.
Chomp, chomp, chomp. This chicken's fucking terrible. Yeah. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Can I have another piece?
It's not a leftover until one of us stops eating it.
That's a valid point.
Yeah, I see. Gotcha on a technicality.
All right.
Bring that up in court.
You gotta stop eating that, you fat cow.
We're at the halfway point on a Tuesday night show. It is 8:30 with us, and it's time for Entertainment at Al Perkins.
Barbara Streisand has a new album. Bette Midler announces a new album. Al can't find the page. Writes all this shit down.
Nothing new here.
Yeah, no shit.
I have a review of three new TV shows and then funny stuff from their fanboy pages, which I don't think they're fanboys anymore. Colin Powell was on Bill Maher in an excellent interview. The View's back. Don Pardo's replacement's been announced.
Oh, I don't know about this.
True Detective's new season has been announced.
All that coming up now from Al. Take it away, Al. I'm going to go make a drink.
All kinds of stuff. And I'll come back because that's when you're interested in, so I'll come back with that one.
Most everything you've got, honestly.
So Bill Maher did his show two Fridays ago from Washington, D.C., and he did a stand-up concert afterward. It was live. It was live for the panel, and then he just ran across town in a very funny little thing and then did a stand-up concert live right afterwards where they actually showed the car driving and he had to make it onto stage and do his thing out of breath. Kind of fun.
Fun.
But he did... one of the best interviews I've ever seen, because I think when you're allowed to, not that you're allowed to swear, but you're like, there's no like constraints or like you can say whatever you want to and you can ask a question in a very like honest manner. You don't have to like tackle it.
He Pop got, tart coated.
Yeah, he sat down with Colin Powell and it was one of the best interviews I've ever seen. And not that I didn't always, you know, aside from his huge misdirection in front of the UN once, didn't
I like Colin Powell.
Yeah. Really liked him, and it was interesting to hear his thoughts on like race relations and everything going on in the country, and what his thoughts are on like on politics. And then finally, Bill Maher asked him about drug laws because Bill Maher's a big pot smoker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So asked him about it, and you know, Colin Powell was like, "Well, I'm not sure about how to say we go against a drug war because I don't want to say I'm like for this drug or against that drug." He's like, but he, my biggest, the thing I always talk about, the Rockefeller laws of giving people mandatory 25-year sentences for, like, small amounts of pot possessions that were from the 70s, that these laws are still on the books.
Right.
And they've ridiculous. they've been tamed down in New York State, but they are still there. If you want to give somebody 25 years of prison, which is like three times more than you get for murder, because that's usually an 8-year after probation. So it was, it's a really interesting interview. I'm sure it's online because Bill Maher makes everything stealable. But the interview from this last Friday with Colin Powell was very, very interesting.
So we haven't watched Real Time with Bill Maher. So that's where I'm going to find it?
Yes.
Okay, it's been back for 2 weeks. It's just on his show.
It's on his – he is the opening interview, and it goes a little long. So he has a good panel for the middle section with the panel. But unfortunately, the Colin Powell interview, they don't edit much. They he keeps it in. So it goes a little bit longer than his opening interview normally does. It's so good. The View last week, and their new format's kind of iffy, where they're like bringing people on and taking people off, and they're interviewing people. And
I feel like they haven't
spurts.
Gelled. I binge watched The View in preparation today, so
they need time. They really do have to get that flow going. And I really like Nicole Wallace.
I do too.
A smart Republican woman. I really want to find out what's going on.
I do not care for Rosie Perez. I'm already like going to cut her.
I'm not completely offended by Rosie Perez, but you're annoyed.
But I'm saying,
and that could happen. Rosie O'Donnell looks like she's chewing on her tongue the entire time because, like, you can tell. You said that right away that, you know,
she wants it to be her show, yeah.
Totally. And they all look completely uncomfortable in that ridiculous little table.
And
they addressed the table this week, and they want the table.
The table's not really working for us.
No.
But the interview.
They all look totally uncomfortable. And, you know, like.
I think we're going
to
see it.
They have nothing to hide behind. I mean, there's no.
You're right.
I mean, how much more comfortable is it for the larger ladies who might want to sit behind this?
Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm so happy being at this.
No, and I don't know. It leads to a different kind of like vibe. I think I never knew the table mattered until I watched somebody sit around an uncomfortable table and be like, "That's why you all suck at this."
That's right.
But the Rosie O'Donnell's interview with Barbara Streisand was very nice and just as suck-up-y as she always was. But Barbara's finally proved she has a sense of humor again because she lost it for about 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
But Whoopi's interview with Billy Crystal was so well done, and it was just, I thought it was really well done. And that was one that I thought that should have been a one-on-one.
Yeah.
But I really want to hear more from Nicole Wallace. I'm really interested in her. Because she's not just spewing Fox News bullshit.
And
she
seems to have her own opinion. Did she come from?
She gave us Sarah Palin, unfortunately. She was Bush's...
She was given Sarah Palin.
Yeah. She was Bush's... not press secretary. She was the communications director for W. Bush, and then she was part of the campaign for Palin.
McCain.
All right.
And she was supposed to get. She was the person in charge of getting Palin ready for her interview. And the movie Game Change. She was played by Sarah Paulson.
Now I remember you talking about it last week. All right, I'm back on board.
So now I have to, because I can't remember. I didn't think I would ever forget this guy's name. But go ahead.
The one that I didn't see, and I think it was last Tuesday's. It had to Tuesday or Wednesday where they, I guess Rosie and Nicole Wallace went back and forth kind of about Bush. Was that correct?
I mean, a little bit.
Because did they blow that up a little bit more?
They did. They're blowing everything up a little bit more than it has been. Because it's been very, like, polite conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Almost too polite. It feels very, like...
But interesting.
That's why I mean Rosie's chewing on her tongue.
But they're both being very, very thoughtful. And Wallace is being, like, okay... And they keep throwing it to her. When it comes time for, like, a true political thing, they're not going to the two comedians. They're going to, like, the person who knows politics.
Sure.
And she said, she's like, I'm going to say something nice about Obama here.
Oh, I saw that. Okay.
And she says it, and then she's... Mm-hmm. She's critical, but she's not just towing a line critical. Her criticism seems a little bit more thoughtful.
Educated.
Sure.
Educated, thoughtful. Yep. And I'm like, well, this is a good example of, like, you can be an intelligent woman and be a Republican. Like, you cannot be a gay man and be Republican. That's not possible.
They're out there. I don't know how
they
do
it. Yep.
But, yeah. No. They're out there, but they're not really intelligent.
Oh, no. I didn't.
And there we lost that listener, but goodbye.
I'm going to put him on the list.
Thanks,
no,
Steph.
Seriously, gay Republican.
Don't let the log cabin door hit you in the ass.
Yeah, gay Republican. I got no use for you. Voting for people that all
on
they do.
On the other hand, forgive me, because I would sit down and listen to them.
No, I've listened to them.
I know you would. No, I know. And I actually
they're
never.
Full of horseshit.
Yeah.
Kyle Pies. They just throw, they fling them at each other. They just, they're the people that accept abuse. They're like, please beat me.
Sure.
I want to vote for you because I want to pretend I'm rich. I want to, and all they are is pretending they have money and they're worried about tax problems.
$30,000
while they're voting for people who spend all their time passing anti-gay legislation. Okay. Like, it's complete and total bullshit. Sorry, Max. I'll even name him. It's bullshit.
It's okay.
Bullshit.
I get
yeah.
it.
Anyways, so let me just Google Don Pardo's replacement because I can't remember. I can't remember his
Can
name.
Can I just take a side note? I'm so glad that you bring butter to the studio, Kat. Nobody's ever brought butter, and you did.
How do you bring baked goods with no butter?
I don't know. Well, nobody ever brought baked goods.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's go back a step before, but he's got butter in his fridge. Mm-hmm. The other thing he's not saying.
Yeah, but so, nobody brought Hammond, it to the studio.
Daryl Hammond, former cast member. Yeah. Did a used to do the best mm-hmm. Ted Koppel Nightline.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He is going to be the new Don Pardo.
Wow.
So that's a nice passing down.
Yeah.
So I thought that was fun, and he's got a great voice for it. Although he's not the one being hired for all these commercials, which kind of makes me laugh because all these everybody else from the show is getting commercials. Like one is the they're all the voice for like different things, but.
When is their season opener?
A season opener is in 2 weeks, I think.
Okay.
I don't think it's this Saturday. It's the one after. And it's Chris Pratt. This is the opening week. And week two is good, too, but I think we talked about it last week. And I can't remember who it is. HBO. Last Week Tonight is just... Seriously, I cannot stress enough how on top of Last Week Tonight you
Sunday
need to be.
Sunday night, while I was in Moreno Valley, California, waiting to go the next morning... I channel surfing and I caught it and I think I inadvertently watched it once and didn't know what it was, but thought it was funny. And now I realize what it was. Mm-hmm. That British guy that just sits there and rants, it was hysterical. Mm-hmm. He had Kathy Griffin on and they were doing that whole thing about Miss America. Oh, I was dying laughing. Oh. It almost made me want to get HBO.
Yeah.
Does Kathy Griffin come out at the end? Cause I'm 3 minutes away from the end of this.
Well, then I hate spoiler alert. She comes out with a hot guy and tries to illustrate the stupidity of all the pageants.
Yeah. I was just at the very beginning of the pageant sketch when I had to go.
Oh, but as he's bashing them saying they are the largest scholarship for women.
Mm-hmm. and then he
has to acknowledge that they are. The largest scholarship for women.
Not as big as they said they are.
Yeah. But still, it's horrifying that they are.
Yeah.
I just, every single week, I'm amused and delighted, and I feel a little bit smarter from watching him. Like, it's a rant. Like, there is no way around that. Mm-hmm. That is.
When he said that they were giving away $45 million worth of scholarships because they're giving away $45 million $1 scholarships.
Yeah. But you can only take one.
Only one.
So funny. And then on HBO, the show that they never should have canceled, The Comeback, is coming back. I thought it was October, but I guess it's November. It's Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, right.
And just something that was too ahead of its time. And so for the five of us that watched that show, that were like, why would you cancel it? It's The Office before The Office was on, uncomfortable TV. It's before you knew what a reality show and how it's when we still believe that reality shows were borderline real because there's only two on.
Right.
The Real World.
And you had not seen someone just go on a reality show to make as big an asshole as they could out of themselves. And in this one, she's not doing it on purpose. The camera's just catching her in all her awfulness. But it's coming back. It's Lisa Kudrow. And it was genius 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And finally, HBO realized, like, there's all these people that all they talk about is the comeback. Like, this show just lives on. So they called Lisa Kudrow and they gave her 8 episodes. And because her and Dan Budakinski and Michael Patrick King from Sex and the City are so on the money with what they do that they wrote the 8 episodes. They just got the deal in the summer. I think they announced it in June or July. It goes on in November. They filmed 8 episodes. They got the whole cast back and just banged it out. So she now is going to have web therapy on Showtime and The Comeback on HBO at the same time. And they're like, are they competing? She's like, no, they're two. And she's so funny. She's like, no, they're two different people. she never even thinks of the fact that it's two Lisa Kudrow. To her, it's like, no, they're two different women. Why would you ever confuse them?
Right.
So funny. But if you get a chance. Under the Dome, I have to actually finish watching the season finale from yesterday. Will now go down as the worst television show that I have ever watched.
Under the Dome?
Under the Dome. I have never suffered through such inane, cunt-flappy programming in my life. And now I just watch to see how far up the cunt-flamp we could get. Because it is... It's a degree of awful writing slash acting slash what are you doing to Stephen King? And I really worry that people watch this, that young people are watching this and are thinking, I would never read a Stephen King book. Like, this is trash. But they completely abandoned Stephen King. They left him, like, and he wrote the season opener and kind of set them up as, like, I'll write the season opener because
here's
I need you, like, I get that you have a different idea because the original ending of Under the Dome is kind of interesting. It's weird. But they were changing it so much that he's like, all right, then I'll interject for the opening of season one and give you this direction. Oh, my God. They just peed on it, shit on it, threw a Pop-Tart under a bus. It's ugly. And again, this is another show that we don't know if it's been renewed or not. But please, God, do not renew the show. But the ratings are borderline okay, which just shocks me.
And tell me what that's on.
CBS.
CBS.
Okay. And the season finale was last night. Last summer, it was the summer show that was pretty good that they just didn't know what to do. It was supposed to be a mini series, but they got such huge ratings that they were like, oh, fuck. Like, we need to extend this because they were competing with The Walking Dead and all these cable shows that run for 13 episodes, not in a set season. So CBS had an experiment with a known title, and it just took off. A huge success last summer, the summer of 2013. It's like, well, we've got to renew it. Like, we can't let this die. People are watching TV in the summer in unheard-of numbers.
Okay.
And so then it came back this year, and they were like, the big thing was, like, Stephen King's writing the episode. He's trying to show us, like, where, since we fucked up his book, where he would take it, and he helped them. And then I think he even said, like, oh, you people are crazy. There is something wrong with each and every one of you. Go ahead.
In watching a trailer last night, there was the show Homeland.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. White people love Homeland.
It's a Saturday Night Live joke. All of a sudden, it just came on, and both Mom and I are just captivated. And I thought, okay, now do I want to get Showtime?
Season three is when you're going to start listening to me?
No, but I had never seen anything. I had heard from you saying that, but I'm like, I'm not getting CBS Showtime
and,
as well.
CBS and Showtime are both Viacom, so they cross-promote. So okay. If you're watching CBS, you're going to see... And Homeland is the biggest show that Showtime's really ever... Well, Dexter's the biggest show they've ever had. Yeah. But Homeland is their critically acclaimed...
Sure. Well, I had heard of it, obviously, from you and different things, but I'd never seen like whole trail. Like, I had never... All of a sudden, it was just this boom, boom. We were like, holy shit.
Because they resolved one story, and they completely resolved season one story, and they resolved it as much as you can resolve something. Yeah. Because it's not like Hannibal, where they killed off the whole cast, but hey, we got renewed.
We're back.
Gotta get some people back. No, they actually
kill new people.
They had wanted one character to finish season one, but then it was making too much money and it was too popular, so they left on a cliffhanger. Like, we're gonna bring them back, but then the showrunners were like, enough. Like, we need to move on. Everyone was worried. Well, speak about like hitting it lucky. She goes to the Middle East to do a counterterrorism thing. She's there in disguise. She has her team. She's got her mental illness to deal with, but now she's like embedded and she's a station chief in the Middle East, and they can bring in real time stuff that's been happening all summer, which they do.
Okay.
Season one was the interesting thing where she was a terrorist specialist that worked in Iraq and knew that somewhere there was a prisoner of war that was being turned and he was going to be released. And that was the opening thing, was that somebody comes, it's the only American prisoner of war from Iraq that gets released, and she thinks he's a trained terrorist, but he's a hero. So then, you know, you get the guy that came back a couple of months ago.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just so on the money, and they keep it so...
Relevant. Yeah.
Relevant, and then that show just turns on a dime. Because she's fucking crazy. She has...
Oh, Claire Danes' character is crazy.
Yeah, she has... But she's bipolar, and she goes off her meds to, like, help solve crimes, then she goes on her meds.
Oh
God, it's got... Everything but a cunt flap.
Is that something
she may
that
have
you
one
can,
or two of those?
Is Showtime something that, like, with Apple TV or
yes,
through
and
Hulu
then,
and all that
and,
kind of stuff?
And because it's so popular, it's on everything. I mean, it's worth it. Just go to.
Well, no,
because
I have Apple TV.
Well, but yeah. I think you have to subscribe to Showtime to get all that, though.
Oh, right, and if you're a little bit behind, like, you can do what the rest of the world did with
Netflix.
Dexter, because nobody has Showtime. You go to Netflix or just walk your ass over to Zia Records and get a used copy of season one or two of Homeland.
Oh, okay.
Park your ass down and own that, because you'll watch it again and again.
Okay.
Season two, a little iffy. There's a daughter in there that should be shot at some point, but the terrorists never get her.
Oh, there you have it.
Sadly, the terrorists fail.
Yeah.
But, season one is just crack cocaine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
When, last year, when Viacom was fighting with Time Warner, and they blacked out CBS. And
I remember you talking about
that. They blacked out CBS and Showtime. Mm-hmm. They blocked out the finale of Under the Dome last year, which was turning into a big hit. And then they blacked out the last season of Dexter and the return of Showtime. So that's when Saturday Night Live was like, white people are losing their fucking minds.
Work that out.
That's where that came from. So let's see what else I got. So Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn are signed on as the new detectives in True Detective on HBO. Mm-hmm. The Twitterverse is, of course, hates it because, you know, everyone hates everything. You have to hate everything first and then begrudgingly like it later.
I do not like it at all.
The Colin Farrell thing, because he's got some movies. He's got a shit level. And then he's got, like, In Bruges. Like, he's got a couple of those little under-the-radar movies that no one's ever seen that are really, really good, where he just gets to be, like, the actor that he is. But most of the time you see him in, like, Phone Booth. Like, you see him in the crap-ass right. movies to make money off the fact that he's cute and made a sex tape. But there is an actor there. And Vince Vaughn I come and go with. You know what I mean? I just watched Dodgeball for the 400th time last
Vince
week,
Vaughn.
And
I got to
tell
can't
you,
help
like,
it.
He makes me laugh. So I'm just worried, like, Vince Vaughn to me is so much better at comedy that I'm wondering right. what the tone of True Detective will be. But my other hope is maybe I'll understand it, because I still don't know what the fuck happened
in that first one.
Because they're replaying it now.
Right.
And they're replaying it before something that I tape. It must be on right before Last Week Tonight. So I always see the scenes from next week of True Detective, and I'm like, I watched that show, and I don't understand what's coming up next week. Like, I saw the episode that just ended, and I saw the episode they're previewing, and I don't know what the fuck you're talking. I have no idea. I'm like, maybe I don't have enough pot. Like, maybe you just have to get as stoned as the McConaughey, Woody Harrelson character to understand what the fuck. And I loved it. I was riveted every week, but it was
absolutely.
Mostly because I was like, what? I don't know.
I think that the piece that I couldn't, the part about his daughter. There was a lot of that I was like, how does that fit in and whatever?
And we changed time frames. Like, mm-hmm. Are we in 96? Are we in 2006? Are we in 2012? Who am I?
Right.
Who am I? Just my couch.
Is there coleslaw?
Just coleslaw.
All right.
And I was going to say, Gone Girl. Every Friday that's not the opening of Gone Girl, I get more disappointed. I cannot wait another minute for this movie. I need it streamlined. I need someone to get me a stolen Academy Awards copy. I just need to see it.
Looking through her magazine, like a Martha Stewart magazine, I think it was. And it gave away. It gave the movie away.
Well, because there was already a book. So
I know. But people, if they haven't read it, I mean, if you haven't paid attention or done whatever... And she has the book at home. She just hasn't read it, so she's like, okay, well.
Oh, no. There is no ending.
Oh, okay.
Let me help you out with you.
Oh, good. Okay, because I don't have any idea. I've not paid.
No. Is there any listening?
Short of hearing you. I don't believe so.
The point of the book is there is no ending.
Okay.
She's
There's
gone.
No ending
she's gone?
To give away.
Is that what that is about?
She's still
no,
gone?
No, I can't believe Aaron hasn't read this. We had a whole conversation.
She has the book, but just hadn't gotten to it.
Right.
Know?
I have a Bible. Doesn't mean I read it. but it's all cool. It's that interesting style of reading from a first-person perspective. We had a long conversation about this.
Was she drinking?
Yes, she was here.
Yeah.
So
she was here.
She was loaded.
Part one is written from the husband's point of view of the Gone Girl. No. Yes. Oh, I don't know. It's all from a first person, though. So part one is the diary of the... No, part one is the husband's point of view.
Anne Frank is in this?
Yeah. Part two is the first person singular, first person account from the woman's point of view. And then there is no omniscient. There is nothing to tell you what happened.
Okay.
All you do is you get the first person account of what the husband thinks happened, and then you get the second part, which is what the wife thinks happened, but you never know.
What happened.
The detective to write a book, and that's when we had a whole conversation on the book, and she was like, oh my God, I'm trying to teach my students about writing from the first person perspective.
Oh, yeah, okay,
and
I remember that part.
If you're writing from the first person, you can only know what you know.
Right.
So if your character's not omniscient, if you're only writing from the first person, then you can't cheat, and that's the frustration of Gone Girl. Okay. You can never know what happened, because all you can know is what he knows and what she knows.
Okay.
So there's no ending to be given away,
because
all you know is what those two people know.
Got it. Well,
you need the detective writes Gone Girl 2, the sequel, because if someone doesn't come in and tell you what happened, there's no way to know.
Okay.
And that's the thing, is you get a relationship from two, it's he said... Then she said, and then no one else says.
No one else talks.
So when the book ends, you're like, motherfucker. Oh, my God.
I'm excited. That's another one that I keep seeing the trailer and going,
oh my God. It's a great, 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 great book from from that perspective, because very, very, very few books are ever written, especially in that kind of a mystery novel, where the person writing the story isn't the detective solving it. Like, you have the victim of the crime, the alleged perpetrator of the crime, and then no one tells you. So it's, oh, it's fucked up. And that's, it's genius writing. Genius writing. And her other two books are good, too. So now we'll go on. No, because it turns out that was me. I think that was her third book. Okay. But she has Sharp Objects and Something About Dark Places. Okay. And both good and all interesting writing. Like, they're interesting writing.
Okay.
You're coming at something from not the usual point of view or not the usual way of looking
at it. Similar to Gone Girl, or completely different?
No, completely different. Okay. But always something. And when you're reading, you're like, "Oh, this is a different way to write a book." Okay. Like that's what you keep thinking. Like, "Oh, that's unusual." But when Gone Girl ends, that book went right across the. I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Call the detective.
Yeah. I need to speak to somebody.
Because do you know this girl is gone? Does anybody know this girl is gone?
Missing persons.
I love them in the 80s.
Okay, so Barbra Streisand put a new album, Partners. Here she is in black and white.
Oh.
Now, Barbra Streisand's last album, as frequent listeners will remember, I sold back to Zia Records for $2 and thought, well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Just weeks ago, actually. Yeah.
Slightly more than I should have paid.
Yeah.
But now she put out Partners, and it's duets with all sorts of fellows. It's Tim McGraw. No, it's not Tim McGraw.
No.
I was like,
It's
I probably read the back of that CD, or the inside cover, and probably tell you the entire list. Well, yeah, open it up. There you go. Oh.
Lionel Richie, John Legend.
Lionel Richie, remember when he didn't suck?
Michael Bublé. I'm excited.
Andrea Bocelli, remember when he didn't suck? Jason Gould, her son, which I think, strangely enough, is the highlight of the album. Okay. It's a beautiful song, How Deep Is the Ocean, and appropriate for a mother and son to sing. Didn't think you'd find a lot of songs like that.
Okay.
Beautifully sung. What Kind of Fool with John Legend. I never thought that song needed reinterpreting, but it's very nice. Okay. Somewhere with Josh Groban. Some people can't hit the same notes that they could have about 30 years ago, but Love Me Tender with Elvis Presley is really nice.
Oh.
And for those of you that don't know, this is not Elvis in the studio. It was actually done technically.
I thought it was Elvis in the studio.
Oddly, no.
Couldn't be the 27 years being dead, could it?
Could. You never know.
Yeah. I didn't think about
27
that.
Years, 1 month, I haven't and heard that.
I am curious to hear it only because they did, several years back, the Lisa Marie did the Don't Cry Daddy duet with him.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah.
Now, this is tasteful.
Okay.
She gets all her tasteful points back for that crap she put out last.
All right. Well.
It had to be you with Michael Bublé. Your first runner-up for, How Deep Is the Ocean. Mm-hmm. People with Stevie Wonder. Yeah. Come Raider, Come Shine with John Mayer does not need John Mayer. He's good on it, but she should be singing that by herself. Evergreen with Babyface. New York State of Mind with Billy Joel. A lot of fun, but she has turned into a Yenta. This woman has gone full-on Jewish grandmother and just cannot stop herself. Hey, Billy, you want to get a bagel after? It turns into an SNL
I need some
sketch.
Capas.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
is that a pizza?
Come on.
It goes full-on Yenta.
Okay.
If I was in the thing, I'd be like, we know you're Jewish, lady. Lay off.
Calm down.
The song that I had no idea what to do with, well, two of them. First off, Lionel Richie. Remember when he didn't suck? No one does.
Hello?
Hello?
He's dancing on the ceiling.
Is it me or... No.
No,
I,
somebody
thank
else?
Because I'm not a blind woman. This is not a pottery class. Two things wrong, cunt flaps. The Blake Shelton song is just unnecessary.
Is it bad?
No, it's just not
unnecessary.
Necessary. Yeah. But like Lionel Richie, once he started dancing on the ceiling, you can let him go.
Yeah.
Like once he turned,
truly.
Yeah. Now we're talking about good 80s and bad 80s.
Yep.
Oh, Lionel Richie needs to be shut up in a box. Go back to the Commodores. That solo career was just a travesty.
Oh.
But interesting things about Barbra Streisand.
I love
the Commodores. And
he had
me right until Dancing on the Ceiling. But then he has worse songs, too. There's one atrocious one that I have such a mental block on. I can't even think of it.
What about Endless Love?
Oh no! See, that's okay. We're good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
So there's one.
Right. No, but you get what? Truly's even good. It's once if there's something past Truly that's so horrible, like my mind can't even like. Mama, what the fuck?
I agree. Kat's gonna Google it because we want to know what it is.
Oh,
I have to know now.
Because one of the best jokes ever is, remember when Lionel Richie didn't suck? No. Because I was dating a younger person who didn't know the Commodores were Lionel Richie.
Right.
So he was like, no, that's Karamu always terrible music.
Fiesta.
Yeah.
Forever.
What song is that?
That one.
Come on and sing along. We're going to party
all night long.
That is mom jeans,
acid washed with a spiral perm while watching the Cosby Show with shoulder pads. Everything bad in the 80s. Everything bad in the 80s just crammed into one fucking song that makes me just hate all humanity.
All night long.
I will kill you later. All night. Parenthetically, all night. Look it up. It's called All Night Long.
No, it is. All Night Long. Parenthetically.
All night. We get it, Lionel. The song's called All Night.
Right.
But then, just when you hate him, he does the song where Sheila E. is in the video, Running with the Night. Phenomenal.
Running with the Night.
Phenomenal song. Yeah. Great beat. Great song, great video,
sure.
But then we're dancing on the ceiling, or we got to party all night, parenthetically, because you didn't hear the word the first fucking time.
One of
us is a window licker, Lionel, and
no,
it ain't
really.
Me.
You told me
all night.
I think you told me the other day that if you use a song in a show and you're doing a critique of it, it's okay, because you're clearly critiquing.
Oh, I am critiquing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not a good song, you say.
Well, my friend.
Okay, well, I just want to know if you're critiquing a song.
He's going to throw that glass
out. There is not enough wine in this room to get me through that shit. But then he did Lady, You Bring Me Up. Like, he is such a great songwriter, except for when he went solo, there was the five other guys weren't being there being like, Lionel, that sucks. Because I always think, how in the God's green earth did you get from Jungle Boogie, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all night, parenthetically. Like, how did we go so far down the food chain that I want to vomit on you while I'm kicking you?
Yeah.
Incidentally, it looks like Dancing on the Ceiling came 3 years after, parenthetically, All Night.
Oh. By Dancing with the Ceiling, I was so out of the loop.
It was also the number one song in 1983. Just saying.
Of the whole year?
Of the whole year.
Oh, come on. With all the good music in 1983, that was the number one song?
Uh-huh.
From the Can't Slow Down album, which was one of my favorite albums.
You have to admit, it's a little catchy.
Yeah. The Caribbean sound.
Caramba, balamba, ba-da-bamba.
Yeah. Stuck in my head for the next 3 days.
Yeah, stuck in your head does not equal good song, because that's The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Two words. Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yeah. Oh.
You'll be thinking me next Tuesday.
Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus.
I actually like the Rhinestone Cowboy song.
I know you do.
And Southern Nights.
Southern Nights. Fuck Rhinestone Cowboy. Put him back with a cunt flap.
That's right.
I want Southern Nights.
I love that.
And I love A Rainy Night.
Oh, I do too. Eddie Rabbit?
That's a good song. See, there are good songs
really good
out there.
I love that too.
I've heard it on karaoke 7 million times, and I still like it.
Stuck on me.
Good to know.
Oh.
We are...
Somebody get some butter spray.
We're coming back in just a minute with the rest of Al's entertainment section, and then immediately following that, well, guess what? It's going to be Kat Carlson and her sports and other stuff.
Mine is just Barbra Streisand trivia into a Bette Midler announcement that you already spoiled. So
that's okay.
Sure.
Well, we'll do it. Fuck it. Who cares? We can do this because we are Q-Talk America.
Woo!
Stick around.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again, 9 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is The Show on Q-Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee. Thanks for being with us, as you do.
You're welcome.
Most often every Tuesday night from 7 to 10. We'd like to thank everybody that's listening. And wherever you are, I hope that you don't have what Al was just talking about. We got a...
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night.
Little Eddie Rabbit. That's something we were just talking about. We have no why we should play this song, but it's a catchy little fun song.
Well, I'll critique it. That is a well-written pop song.
That really is. I love
it. Beautifully written, catchy lyrics.
Windshield wipers slapping out of tempo. That's the difference. Is it the right song?
Yeah. Yeah. A hook I can live with.
Oh, there you go. Very good.
We didn't scrape the bottom of any barrel.
I love that. It's a good song.
Gotta keep a roll.
One of the greatest debut albums in mortal history is Phil Collins' Face Value. I Missed Again, Something in the Air Tonight, Thunder and Lightning, covers of Lennon and McCartney, beautiful songs. And then Susu Studio happened.
Yeah. Oh.
Which leads us...
Here's the other... Because I think I like that album. No Jacket Required.
Because you're the couple years younger than me where you didn't know that he was really good. So when
and I had Face Value.
When he started... Right. Remember? Mm-hmm. He was good. But now when you say to someone like 28 years old, you're like, remember when Phil Collins didn't suck? And they're like, no. That's not technical.
Seriously,
did you post
Collins?
That recently? Because I've seen that recently.
Yeah, who's
Face,
Phil Collins?
Face Value, honest to God, is still one of my most played albums. And I listen to like 3 or 4 songs from that at least monthly.
Hmm.
Thunder and Lightning.
So am I going to get... Is this one of the crappy songs to you, or is this one of the good ones?
Oh, this is a highlight.
I just want to make sure. Because I remember as a little kid...
That is the zenith of the career that just went to Stupido.
Okay, I just... Because I remember in Studio, but I remember going to the theater and seeing this movie solely based on the song.
Oh, no.
Rachel Ward and
Jeff Bridges. Yeah.
And okay. James Woods is the
evil
man. Yeah. Oh, no, that's great songwriting, great song, beautiful lyric.
And
I hated
that Mariah Carey redid it. Because I hate the Mariah Carey redoes. Yeah, she redid it.
Shut up. Yeah. That's
she also
illegal.
Redid, she also did, God, why can't I think? One more
did
try.
Did she do from... Stuck on You?
No, she did not.
No. Oh, but the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
And I love the Luther.
I love the Luther. Yeah.
But Luther Vandross and Mariah Carey remaking Endless Love.
Oh, God.
I wish they both were dead.
It's not okay.
Like, my voodoo doll only got one of them. Because that was a criminal
it's
offense.
It's just wrong, but I enjoy it.
So is that song. Yeah. You've ever heard that?
Oh, no, I have.
There is no musicality in that version at all. All they're doing is listening to each other hit notes. They're not even listening to each other.
She's probably chirping like a bird.
Just riffing.
Right, and he's in full on. I'm Luther. I'm a big, powerful gay man. No one can know but Oprah.
Right.
All right. So back to real stuff. Besides the decline.
I lied to you, by the way.
The decline of two middle aged men's careers.
Every Breath You Take was the number one song in 1983.
Thank God.
I'll be watching.
Oh my God.
Every move you make.
You have no idea the faith I lost in humanity when you said that was the number one song.
Well, because I was looking at this. Thing. Anyway, it looked like that was it, and then I thought, I'm going to go ahead.
Making shit up.
Surprise!
Weird!
Facts are used loosely on this show.
Yes. Right. Well, we say that.
You got me drunk, cunt flaps, and now you're going to hear the end of it. My absolute favorite thing to hear... I can use it as an adjective.
I like it. You can.
I can describe people with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an adjective. Because I seem to have lost that part of my grammar
lesson.
Need.
Cunt flapper.
Not an adjective.
You cunt flapper!
So now we get to one of the...
Sir or ma'am.
Oh, find that. Find that so we can play a clip of it.
What, cunt flapper?
You know.
What?
By the Police.
Oh, everybody's
cunt flapper by the Police. It's Sting's greatest moment.
I say we just critique every week, and then we can have music.
I can do 3 hours on What's Wrong with American Music.
Music critique.
But,
be afraid.
Mm-hmm. What's it called?
Yep.
The stalker song?
Mm-hmm. Every Breath You Take?
Every Breath You Take.
Mm-hmm.
Find that.
Pull it up.
Work that out.
Stand By was Sandy Hansing. I was doing Sandy Hands.
One of the darkest, most obsessive...
The album Synchronicity.
Genius. And if you listen to Synchronicity 2 with the Dark Scottish Lake... Or lock, depending on how you want to pronounce it and what you got to rhyme it with. Because he does pronounce it both ways, depending on whether Scotland needs to be involved.
Whoever it suits him.
Scotland stayed. The United Kingdom remains united.
It does.
Also, one of the best parts of John Oliver.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How often you can say, we saved the kingdom!
96,000. They all voted. It was 90%. It went up.
So
people voted.
As someone, and I'm sure there's just someone else at the table here who could maybe identify with probably the greatest stalker song ever written. Like, this song is so dangerously disturbed. Fast forward a little bit. Mental illness till you start singing.
Till you start saying every move you make, I'll be fucking watching you.
Because that's not creepy.
This is what I do at karaoke. I, like, watch the actual lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever noticed that
You need a someone with a gun.
No,
like it's a terrible Julia Roberts movie where she cuts her hair and no one recognizes her.
Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Yeah. Oh my god, no one recognizes Julia Roberts with short hair.
People come to my house and open up the cabinets and they're like, oh. And then I straighten the towels and they're like, hmm.
So a couple years after the song, this song came out in 83. I moved here in 86, made some friends, a couple of friends. Someone told me this was their wedding song. And I'm like,
Shut up!
I'm like, which one of you is dangerously disturbed? And they're like, why? It's such a beautiful song. Every move you make, every breath you take, every leg you break.
I'll be watching you.
I'm watching.
Yeah.
It's at Coleslaw. 42.95.
And then over the course of the decades that have passed, I have met so many people that were like, that was their wedding song.
Oh.
Why?
Was there a therapist next to the priest to help you with the fact that one of you is dangerously unhinged? Anyways, that's my 1983 speech.
The number of people, the number of people's nights that I've ruined by Tiffany's, I think we're alone
right,
now.
Right.
That I look at them and I'm like, date rape.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I want to hear.
There doesn't seem to be anyone else around.
Running.
I want to hear.
Tackled her to the fucking ground.
Yeah.
Whispers in her ear. I think we're alone now. Date rape. I locked the door.
And it's Tommy James. It's a remake of a man song, so you know it's a date rape song.
I want to hear Megan Mullally in a minor key redo Every Breath You Take. Because it'll become the stalker song.
Sure.
Just like in that years ago when she redid Silent Night in that NBC special, the Christmas song, Silent Night, she redoes it and it's all good and beautiful. And then mid-song, it changes into a minor key and it becomes silent. Like it's a macabre version of the song. But if she redid this...
Because it's cold and snowy and we're about to throw a kid in a barn because there's no more room.
Somebody call her. Get her
We're this close to making that baby like some kind of feed. Okay. Unless something truly unusual happens, which it probably won't, they're usually good at predicting this. Tomorrow morning, Billboard should announce that Barbra Streisand has a number one album in the sixth consecutive decade.
Right.
Which will give her the largest span of number one albums in chart history, just shy of 50 years. Her first chart topper was in October 64 with the album People, which I don't think that was the name of the album because I think her first album was called
Barbra Streisand.
We're both like, what?
So I honestly don't think. I think...
Was that the first single off the album? Was People the first single?
Perhaps, but her first... No, People wasn't on her first album. Mm. Her first album in 1964 was called the Barbra Streisand album.
Okay.
Pretty much sure, and it went number one, and it won the Grammy for Album of the Year. But Elvis Presley will fall to second place with a 46-year span of number one albums, May 56 to October 2002. He was dead, so I don't think that should count.
Shouldn't, no.
Yeah. It'll be Streisand's 10th number one album, which will extend her lead over Madonna as the female artist with the most number one albums in chart history. Oh,
there you go. That's what the faggots are going to get upset about.
But she's already number one because she already has 9. And Madonna only has 8. So she's already number one, but now she's extending her.
Now she's really bragging.
So only 4 other artists have had 10 or more number one hits. The Beatles have 19, Jay-Z 13, Bruce Springsteen 11, and Presley with 10. So her and Presley now become like the biggest recording artists in history. They've always been neck and neck, but Presley extends his because he's on this album, so he gets credit for being on a number one album in this decade.
Oh, how funny.
Even though he's dead.
Oh, wow.
That's wild.
Streisand will be the second oldest artist ever to notch a number one album. Tony Bennett was 85 when he topped the charts with Duets 2. Mm-hmm. So it turns out you got to find a bunch of people to sing with. Mm-hmm. Streisand has had at least one number one album in every decade since the 60s. She had one in the 60s, 3 in the 70s, 2 in the 80s, 2 in the 90s, 1 in the 1000s, and probably this.
I so love the Broadway album.
Oh, me too.
I love that album.
And the one from the 90s is the Broadway album too, which Return to Broadway, which is phenomenal. And the other day I sat around with coffee at 2 o'clock in the morning and I listened to the Broadway album on repeat for about 3 hours and then I went back to bed.
Okay.
Lennon and McCartney had a number one in each decade from the 60s to the 2000s, but only if you combine solo and Beatles albums. Streisand did it all by herself. 8 of her partners have had number one albums on their own. This is her second collaborations album. Duets was a pairings that she recorded throughout her career. it's one with where she sings with herself, the house. Where she has the unmitigated gall, which I love to throw that phrase around. She doesn't just pick like Donna Summer and Neil Diamond, but then she's like, oh, I did a duet with myself once.
I'll sing with myself.
And it's a beautiful duet. It's A House Is Not a Home.
That the video we
one
watched
less
was
bell
all three.
To answer. Yeah. It's where someone had the great idea of having her sing two songs as a medley, but singing them as a duet with herself. And whoever did it, brilliant. And this is her. It's all men. And a curious choice for a woman who is known as a strong feminist. By contrast, four Streisand's partners on duets were women: Judy Garland, Donna Summer, Kim Carnes, Celine Dion. The only thing worse than Lionel Richie is the duet with Barbara Streisand and Kim Carnes. And I love Kim Carnes. Yeah. I will not have a bad word said against her, except for the song with Barbara Streisand and Celine Dion, which I just don't believe that woman understands what she's singing.
She kind of makes me cringe a little bit.
Like every song she remakes, she including "I'm Calling You,"
me, like she just always...
the one that George Michael did so beautifully. That's really from Baghdad
Thing
Cafe.
From Baghdad Cafe.
That clearly Celine just doesn't know what she's singing
I'm
about.
I've never heard her. I'm gonna write this down.
Oh, and it's horrible. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, I have to.
But the other one is "I Drove All Night." Cindy, yeah. It's really a Roy Orbison song, which he sold the shit out of. Cindy Lauper gives you all the angst of like, "I drove all night through the desert to be with you because I love you and I'm kind of obsessed. I'm a little bit sick." Celine Dion is singing about the car. Like the Canadian bitch just does not get what she's singing.
And it's a nice car, though.
That's about the only one of hers that I actually like.
Until you hear Cyndi Lauper, and the minute
I love the Cyndi Lauper version.
Because as soon as you hear Cyndi Lauper singing that, you're just like,
Go back to the beginning. I still have a CD somewhere in that rack in there of "Misled." I think one of her first singles that she did back. It was right in the early '90s when Celine.
Oh,
"Misled."
Oh. Yeah, and she had a couple when she sings her own songs.
It was good.
She's fine, but with like all I asked
taking on other people's songs.
All by myself.
Ask of you. The Patti LaBelle song.
Right. Yes.
That Patti LaBelle is like singing about her dead sister, and it's this beautiful love song. And then Celine Dion singing about like...
She doesn't have
someone.
She's singing to her grocery about it. Oh, Jesus Christ. She's a...
If you ask me to. If you ask me to.
If you ask me to. This will be her 33rd top 10 album. The only other person that gets close is the Rolling Stones with 36. Madonna only has 20. Okay, here it is. Streisand first hit the top 10 in the summer of 63 with the Barbara Streisand album. So they correct. Here we go. We don't need to Google.
Oh, no, I'm just looking at Mexico's listening now.
Okay, in all that time, she has never gone 5 years without a top 10 album. That is amazing. Her longest shutout was 4 years and 7 months between Till I Loved You in December of 88, which is that horrible one with Don Johnson singing a song on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a good time. And Back to Broadway in July of 93. And she did make it because we're in time for Grammy eligibility. If it wins for Best Traditional Pop Vocal Album, it will be Streisand's first Grammy in 28 years since the Broadway album took the award. I don't there's a lot of competition in that category. And she is working for it. If you did not see Streisand on Jimmy Fallon, he did the whole hour with her. She, like I said, she's got her sense of humor back. All of a sudden, she's fun again. Not only did she sound, she sang.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And she sang with Jimmy Fallon, who took Michael Bublé's part. He took Shelton's part, and he sang someone else's part, and he imitated them.
All of them.
Not only did he imitated them well enough to sing with Barbara Streisand.
Wow.
And she was fun about it. They had a good time, and it was her first time in the Tonight Show in over 50 years. And she sat in Johnny's chair, and he sat in the guest chair.
Okay.
She sat behind the desk.
They tried to do a fake thing where he would interview her, like, to see if she wanted to do it. But they couldn't do it, and it just ended up being a fun conversation. And
I appreciate that.
It was
that
really
they did
nice.
That so that she could only be seen
from
the left side.
Her right, her correct side.
Her correct side.
Right.
But
because otherwise, that would have been.
But on a clear day, you can see forever, there is a rotating shot. That's actually that's one of those things that's mostly true, but it's not always true.
Okay.
She is filmed from both sides. A clear day, you can see forever, they do a complete. Dolly cam where these
no, but her sides. Preference.
Oh, her preference is
her
definitely
her preference. Yeah, is the left side.
That's the whole Oprah lighting interview thing that we've talked about before.
Well, and Rosie, that would like Rosie had a chair set up, like moved the stage a little bit when Rosie had her show.
Oh, had her on
so that Barbara could sit to her left when she came out, as opposed to sitting.
And when Barbara Walters interviewed Barbara Streisand one time. You know, Barbara Walters, they were both allegedly difficult women. So they were kind of joking about being difficult. And so Barbara Walters was like, I'm known for being difficult about how I set things up. And she's like, and you have the same reputation. So if you were doing this interview, what would you do different? She's like, well, I'd move your chair over there. I would soften that light because you're older than me. Like, and she gave her all these directions, and Barbara was like, we're going to reset and we'll do it. And they reset, and she looked at, and she's like, yep, looks better. She's like, you just have an eye for this. And she's like, it's not me being bossy. I'm just telling you,
you're sitting
there across from me. You're an older woman than I am, and you have the flattering light on me. I don't need it as much as you do. Change that lighting. Soften it on you. You're going to look better. I'm going to look fine. This is my house. I know where to sit in my house. I already put this in my house where I should sit. Because I did the lighting for the house. Fix your lighting. And it's a really funny little moment. And then finally, Bette Midler announces her first album in 6 years.
Oh my God.
She's been doing little things on Facebook because we're friends on Facebook.
Oh, I love that.
We're very, very close, Bette Midler and I.
Sure you
are. It's her first studio album in 8 years. She's revisiting some of the vocalists who shaped her the most, girl groups, on It's the Girls. It's due November 4th on Warner Brothers Records. 7 decades of famous girl groups from the 30s.
What a voice for that, too. I love that.
She's going to do TLC, and she's doing Waterfalls. Mark Shaman, who did Hairspray and who's been handling her music for years and years and years, is in charge of it. Oh my God, there's a track list. I didn't know this. Oh my God.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Breaking news.
Breaking.
This really is just in. I didn't realize it was a track list because I am on Bette Midler's site, and I thought we were friends.
Well, she didn't tell you. She should have called. Maybe she tried.
Here we go.
Maybe she tried.
Breaking news!
We'll be back from commercial in 2 minutes.
In 2 and 2.
Be My Baby by the Ronettes. Be my little baby. Oh, so excited.
Yeah. Oh my God, from Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. One Fine Day by the Chiffons. Which was written by Carole King and Jerry Goffin. By Mir Bistuchon. It's by the Andrews Sisters. I have no idea.
Wait. Is she doing All Night? Parenthetically.
All Night.
All Night.
Baby, It's You, performed by the Shirelles. Tell Him by the Exciter.
Tell him right now.
Okay, He's Sure the Boy I Love, a duet with Darlene Love, who's the person that I always say, you know her voice, you don't know who she is, but she's from 20 Feet from Stardom. Originally performed by the Crystals, which is where Darlene Love comes from. Mr. Sandman by the Cordettes.
I love it.
Come and Get These Memories by Martha and the Vandellas. Oh, Too Many Fish in the Sea by the Marvelettes. Teach Me Tonight, Waterfalls by TLC, You Can't Hurry Love by the Supremes.
I love it.
Give Him a Great Big Kiss. The Cher remade it. Mm-hmm. Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, which is Doug Wilkie's favorite song.
It's my new favorite thing ever.
It's very exciting.
Also from Dirty Dancing.
I'm learning that. Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Who does it in Dirty Dancing?
Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? No, it's in the movie. It's
probably the Shirelles then.
I think
it's the original one.
Yeah.
Oh, but if you have not heard it, find it on, and if you can't find it on iTunes, then you should not be listening to a podcast. Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow by Roberta Flack. Mm. It's beautiful by the Shirelles. It's beautiful by everybody that sings it.
That's what's playing when she says, "Have you had many women?" What? Have you had many women?
Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's Doug Wilkie's favorite song, and I will help him argue that it is probably one of the most beautiful songs, arguably one of the most beautiful songs ever written. Mm-hmm. And then It's the Girl by the Boswell Sisters. Now, some
Do
of these
I know
say...
that one?
I don't know that one either. Mm-mm. But it doesn't matter, because she's doing Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow. Roberta Flack, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, from her Greatest Hits album. It's available on iTunes. I will send you the 99 fucking cents, you cheap motherfuckers.
Give us the release date on that album.
November 4th, if you're doing something with me on November 4th, guess what we're going to be listening to.
And that's it, it's breaking news.
And that means she'll be touring.
Possibly.
I hope so.
That was breaking news coming from Alan Entertainment.
And if anybody learns that the tickets are coming out, they need to buy me and Mom one. No two ways about it.
Just buy them and we'll mortgage the house,
we'll
whatever we're going to do.
Whatever needs to be it's done. It's me and Mom to go to that.
I would love to go to that too. Mom and I'll go. 9:21 on the show, and it's time for a little sports and other stuff with Kat Carlson.
Sports and other stuff this week.
Whoa. How rude.
Don't
or
know.
Not. It was pointed out to me earlier that it's state fair season, so I found a sample of some things that we should look for. Miss the WNBA. Good news. The FIBA Women's World Championship starts on September 27th. In While You Were Napping news, Major League Baseball's Rougned Odor strikes out and then makes it to third base. I've got some shit about football, and that'll be it.
In And other stuff.
So I did. We were talking about the State Fair, and I got so excited about the stupid shit that they do at the State Fair. I Googled it.
Okay.
Like you do.
Yeah.
So.
If they're throwing cow pies.
Well, let's find out. I've got a slideshow, if you will.
Oh, a slideshow.
A slideshow.
Jesus Christ.
At the Colorado State Fair in Pueblo, Colorado.
Are they cow pie flinging?
No, but you can look at a dog compete in an air jump competition.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I've seen that.
That'd be fun. Okay. Yeah, little dogs David jumping Letterman. Into pools.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to need liquor, but I'll go.
At the Iowa State Fair, participants State Fair create like their own boxed vehicles for a race that is the... outhouse race. That's right. Shit house racing in Iowa. In Iowa.
Is it a one or a two-holer?
Shit house racing.
There you go.
Iowa State Fair.
Now, shitting on the run.
The old log roll competition is still a classic at the Minnesota State Fair in St. Paul, Minnesota.
What's happening? The log roll?
Log roll.
Different Clayton's log.
Gonna spit.
Swallow. Different log. Don't put so much in your mouth next time. Try that.
That's what he said.
Just a tip, ma'am.
Oh, damn it. At the Arizona State Fair, they still have the old-fashioned pie-eating competition.
Not cow pies.
No. Regular pies.
I'm attracted to fat girls. What do you have here at the State Fair that might help me find them? We got a pie eating over on there. Okay.
Hey, now shut up. That's on Tuesday.
Oh.
Eat some pie.
That girl can eat 6 hot dogs. She'll be fat soon. I'll go.
We're beefing her up.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Everything you said sounds like a sexual something.
Well, this ought to be right up your alley. Finally,
she got a hot dog in every orifice. Oh, hello.
The creative juices continue to flow at the Minnesota State Fair. As the llama costume contest.
Come on.
You actually dress your llama.
At the Minnesota State Fair?
You put shit on your dogs. You get off that cross.
I'm from Minnesota. I'm not on a cross. Dress I just never llama. Heard about that.
Look at she's getting all judgy because somebody dressed up their llama.
I think it's hysterical.
I know they
also
have
known
there.
As Miss Minnesota US of A.
Now, which one has real
we
tits?
We play cups.
Oh, God.
Chandeliers.
Oh, I think that they should have to carve a llama out of butter.
You know what? You know what we got to do? You know what we got to do?
Yes.
We have to go to a state fair as a group.
Oh. Clayton would love that.
And we can all record our thoughts into our smartphones and then play them later.
Yeah. That actually is a good idea. Or we could just set up a little booth.
I'm just saying it's going to take a lot of drugs to get me into a state fair.
Like at Pride?
On a Tuesday, like at Pride.
I have been opposed to going for years.
I know, but we're going as a sociological experiment.
Absolutely.
And
here's the problem. The last time I went to the Arizona State Fair, I was convinced and really justifiably so that I was about to get shot.
Oh.
Well, don't go on Tube Top and Who's Your Baby Daddy.
Yeah.
Night.
By the way, that's just about every night. I think open carry night
would be one to avoid.
I'm standing in line to the Tilt-A-Whirl with Molly Montgomery, of all people.
Love the Tilt-A-Whirl.
I think I found the reason for guns.
If any of my stories in life ever start, I was standing by the Tilt-A-Whirl with Molly Montgomery.
You know you're in trouble, girl. Molly, you in danger, girl.
I had a pregnancy test in this hand and cotton candy in this one. And I couldn't tell
which one to read.
I was just looking for the pie eating contest.
I was not pregnant. No, we're standing in line at the Tilt-A-Whirl, and all of a sudden, the entire Arizona State Police Force troopers, whatever they're called, they're there and just backing people up with mace and guns and all kinds of shit. Back up, back. Seriously.
What's more fun at a state fair than a SWAT reenactment?
As a white girl. Yeah. As one or two white girls on the stairs.
What you gonna do?
What? Bad boys.
Just wear a sign that says, I'm clearly white.
My hands are up.
No.
I say we go. Right. We bring like 6 pregnancy tests and we see.
And we keep them like it.
But we see what the fried foods do to the pregnancy test.
And then we hand them out.
Oh, that's even better.
God, I like that idea. Hand them out.
We go in.
We'll go to Costco and get a pregnancy test.
We eat a fried something and then we find a fat girl and we both go in and pit pregnancy test.
Don't hand me one.
No, you're on the fried foods column.
Oh, my God. Okay, because I was going to say,
Doesn't matter what you weigh, you're still on the fried foods column. Wouldn't that be fun?
I think it'd be hysterical.
We'll eat all the fried foods we can, and we'll go on the Tilt-A-Whirl and ride till we throw up.
I want to wear a t-shirt that has...
You realize it's October.
I want him always on my left side. Coming up next month. I want him always on my left side, and it's going to have an arrow that says, this is my baby daddy.
Oh! And I want an I'm with stupid t-shirt that points up. For those people that don't know that means that they're stupid... Have you seen those?
Being no. that this is sports and other stuff, yeah. just in case you missed oh. the WNBA, I have good news for you.
Oh, your people won a tournament.
Weeks ago. And some of my people are headed... Fuck it.
No, no. Don't break my shit.
Oh, Molly's online.
I would never break your shit.
So your people have been busy.
Call me when you're ready. I'm drinking.
No, Molly says pregnancy test in one hand, cigarette in the other. And then she says in pregnancy test, I mean a 3-month-old baby.
Did I have it? Am I pregnant?
I went to pee in the toilet and there was a baby there out of my coochie.
Oh, look at the swallows. Sorry, Kat.
Oh, Tomo never misses a fair. I don't think that's how he meant it, but he should watch punctuation.
I need to change how I approach my segment.
And poor Cal, you should do it earlier when we're sober. You should approach it earlier.
You should maybe do sports first, and then we'll get to everything.
Yeah, here's the best part. I don't give a crap about sports. Yeah, I spend all week like desperately trying to be interested.
Hey, but we don't really care about sports. Well, actually, they care about
a little.
Continue on, my wayward son.
I spent all week desperately trying to be interested in something sports related. So okay.
Then just do other stuff.
We're with you. We're with you.
We'll do, the theme song still works for other
it's
stuff.
Uh-huh.
So what is the W? What's your people up to?
In lesbian news.
There it is.
Women's basketball. Lesbians around the world are crushed that the WNBA is over and the Phoenix Mercury have won. However... have no fear.
They go to Europe or China now.
They do. They're in Turkey, starting in...
They're a wonderful ambassador to the war-torn Turkey. We're sending you
I
our lesbians.
I hear many Syrians are on what that team.
They shot down two lesbians over the Gala Strip.
In 3 days, 6 hours,
they
30
like
minutes,
twins.
And 33 seconds, the FIBA Women's World Championship will begin with Team USA being in the D group. I don't even know if that means a thing.
It's their bra size.
No, I don't think so. Have you seen those girls?
If you sell that right, she almost bought it. So she left.
I'm like, wait, no.
No. Well, if the Mercury's in the D group, wouldn't
no,
that
no,
mean
no.
they'd be...
There's only two players from the Phoenix Mercury. It's Team USA.
Okay.
It's a national
it.
Thing. It's like it's like the World Cup
this
of
means
lady
Team USA.
Basketball.
Or Evita is talking.
Or get off my lawn.
Yeah. Fuckers.
Or
don't crap for me, lady basketball.
Yeah. Listen, you cunt flaps.
Jesus Christ.
Pay attention.
Don't cry for me, cunt
Kat
flaps.
Carlson's talking, and yes. Molly might be pregnant.
I didn't
with
do
a
it.
3-month-old.
No.
It wasn't me.
I'm holding a 3-month-old. I may have been pregnant recently, but there's no way to know.
The FIBA World Championships run from September 27th to October 5th. Phoenix's own Diana Taurasi and Mercury and Brittany Griner are on the team.
Oh, I hope to help Griner would be
I
on
honest
it.
Honest to God, thought you said the FIBA World Championship. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to bring aid to people as fast as they can.
FIBA, like FIFA, but with a B.
I gotcha. I'm back.
For
I liked it when it was FIBA World Championships.
Yeah. Carrying
a,
they
carrying
bring
a crane
their own
of water.
Trailers.
Racing for assistance.
Yeah.
Everybody brings
Jesus
their own trailer.
Fucking Christ.
A cholera vaccine as fast as you can stick it in somebody.
Time for a raise. So while you were napping.
You missed what she was. We have while you were napping news. Like
while
that.
You were napping news in baseball, apparently it's possible to strike out and then be safe on third.
Oh. Talk
okay.
to me.
Okay.
Happened.
It happened. So Rougned Odor. Is his name. He's from Venezuela. Google him.
Yeah. Many, many, many are.
As they are.
Exactly.
Yes.
He plays for the Texas Rangers, comes up to bat, strikes out. Catcher drops the third strike ball.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he takes off running. Yeah.
Catcher's like, oh, I forgot that part.
Bad throw to first base. Bad throw to first base.
Yep. Fuck. Keep going. You're good.
I'm
you're
sure
good.
The shortstop does something wrong next. I'll
Bad
help you.
No? First no? base. Motherfucker slides into third. Safe.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Legal?
Three, legal. Yeah.
Yeah, because no, if you don't, if the
you
catcher.
You got to catch it.
Right. I played catcher
it's
in
like
fast
herpes.
Fiction,
you got to catch
so,
it or you don't have it.
No.
It.
Right. Exactly.
What's his first
it's
name?
It's
Pedro.
Sorry.
It is not Pedro.
Juan.
It's pronounced Rougned, and I believe it's Rougned.
Brother of arugula.
No.
Uh-huh. Very nice.
Bitter.
Oh. R-U-G-N-E-D?
Yes.
Oh, no. No.
No. I don't know.
No, no.
What
oh, his last name is Odor.
Oh, well, that smells fishy.
Hang on, let's go. No.
I didn't look at him for attractiveness.
I don't like boys in hats.
Fun story.
No, it's not that. It's just he's not that cute. I mean,
wasn't it the Texas Rangers that also had someone who had been in the minors for 13 years and got a hit?
Yes, I was just looking at that.
Yeah, like that was. So the Texas Rangers have been.
Now you're
going to
tell me what
story
you should have told? Now you're going to be critical?
No.
Jesus Christ. Bitch.
No.
Yes, because after.
No.
Con flap.
If you just Google hot baseball players, a lot better pictures come up.
There are a lot of hot baseball players.
Yes. Don't Google ass clowns.
Whatever you do.
Fair warning.
Or blue waffle.
Die! And continue on. Continue
Google
on.
Google blue waffle.
Continue on with other stuff.
I don't have any other stuff. I tried desperately for sports. So after 13 years, 1,095 games in the minors, it's Gilder Rodriguez who gets his first Major League Baseball hit. So once he gets called up from the minors, he's like, motherfuckers, I can play.
Yeah, bitches.
First play, gets a hit. Second play, I believe he also got a hit on the second play. He was signed in 2001 to the Brewers and stayed in the minors for a very long time. And
now he's not.
Now he's not. Yeah, came up and said, oh, by the way, I can play, asshats.
If you can play, you can play.
If you can play, you can play. That's right.
If you can play, you can play. Lord Almighty.
I like it.
I know, me too. So well, moving on.
Oh, dude, do not Google blue waffles. She was not kidding.
we are not kidding you.
I'm not kidding
you. No, that is not a joke.
I don't think I am.
I'm not fucking around here.
Do not.
No. Okay.
All right. So on to my beloved football.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Good Lord. One Cowboys fan decides that there's not enough Cowboys in the Cowboys stadium. They need a rowdy row, and I'm convinced that he's seen recent Cardinals footage.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Classy people.
Leading me into my next story, which is the scariest motherfucking thing I've ever seen in my life, and it happened here in Phoenix at a football game.
Okay.
Yeah. So this first story, Gabriel...
Somebody.
He says he became a diehard
Baba
Cowboys
Ganoush.
Fan. Gabriel Baba Ganoush.
Gabriel Cutflap.
Yeah.
Became a diehard Cowboys fan at the age of 3. So the notion that the AT&T Stadium, the home of the Dallas Cowboys, has become a destination for out-of-town folks, lukewarm fans, and executives, he takes that personally.
Oh, he should.
He does. He started a movement called Rowdy Row
to
petition the team and Jerry Jones to create an affordable section for diehard fans. The section would be affordable to diehard fans to try to put our diehard fans back in the stadium. He says the average diehard fan probably isn't making over $30,000 to $35,000 a year, and they can't afford to be in the stadium. He's already gathered 3,000 signatures. He began the movement after watching the Cowboys season opener, in which 49ers fans showed up in large numbers, filling the stadium with San Francisco Red. It pisses me off, really, he says. At some point, you have to look at reality. You can't tell me you weren't outnumbered in the stadium. It should never be like that.
This guy's got a fair point.
He does.
No, I agree. Okay. Uh-huh. So did the 49ers have this same thing going, and he's just trying to start it there? Or how did this? How did it become? They filled the stadium with red.
I think the Cowboys suck.
I think and the 49ers fans may be like more affluent, more.
Well, they're in Cisco. They're making costly, somebody's making money because
and you have a bigger market. Like Texas has the Houston
Oilers.
They have not anymore. They have the Texas. Help me out, lesbian.
What?
Sports stuff. Texas.
Texas Rangers. Houston.
Rockets.
Texans.
Houston Texans.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys. And California only has...
They used to have the Houston Oilers. Keep going.
I'm just saying, like, you have a bigger state with only two teams, and they really want to see their people play. They don't have an L.A. team, so they have a bigger fan base. So that is fair to say you want affordable seating for your locals in these outsized... And the Dallas Stadium is obnoxious.
It is obnoxious.
That's the one that's, like, got the $40 million TV screen.
The TV that comes down in the middle.
The TV screen's worth the whole fucking show.
It's kind of like going to Elf's.
I'd go watch, like, female strippers there. It's that so good. Yes. That's a TV.
Well, but it depends. I mean, when you look up even going to a Vikings game, which the comparison is kind of moot, but if you look up during the Vikings-Packers games, the Green Bay Packer fans outnumber... Because typically by the time we play the Green Bay Packers, it's like now where we're like, we're done already. Yeah. But many fair weather kind of fans, then the Vikings don't go. And so then the Green Bay Packers take it over, and then fans like me are pissed.
And they really do set up those regional rivalries where that's a surprising one. The Dallas San Francisco, and that's a bit of a travel. But like, you know, New England Buffalo, that's a common rivalry. That's a short trip. That's drivable. That's an 8-hour drive, realistically.
Right.
And most of those rivalries, like Green Bay,
the Bears
mm-hmm. and Green Bay, like those are rivalries that you can get to and support sure. each other's teams, or support your own team.
But the idea of San Fran and Dallas,
wow. But then, and that speaks to the price of going to see a game now, that it's not family affordable.
It's not absurd. Cost effective. No,
it's absurd.
No. So you should, I agree with this guy, you should yeah. have a diehard fans, like.
But maybe let's not call it Rowdy Row, especially because I found that one after I saw the Cardinals brawl. Because
he's probably like date raping somebody.
Exactly.
And beating a kid with a go pick your stick, I'm going to beat you.
Because I'm like, all week I'm like looking for sports stuff. Right.
Yeah.
Right. All week I'm looking for sports stuff and going, okay, this is my thing. I'm going to, you know, try and be informative and entertaining on all of these things. And
you're
like,
always entertaining.
I didn't learn a lot. I mean, it's fine. You don't have to. I'm not an educator.
We know each other well enough for me not be nice.
Not at all. No, you don't have to learn anything. Possibly a little entertainment. But honest to God, I remember we were talking a couple of weeks ago, something about ISIS, something that possibly I poorly brought up. And, you know, Marnie was saying that that's, like, horrifyingly scary. Like, overseas terrorists and, like, people coming in. The scariest thing in the world to me is a 20 to 30-something white man who's hopped up on NFL testosterone.
And beer.
And just out of control. And so then I'm like looking and I see the video of this brawl that happened at the Cardinals-San Francisco game. And I, honest to God, virtually in tears.
What's in common?
Like, virtually in
what
tears.
What do they have in common? San Francisco fans.
I know.
They're the new Raiders.
I know.
Oh, God.
They do have a third team. Settle down, California. I forgot about Oakland.
Yeah. Most people do.
Put it back in your pants.
Everybody forgot about Oakland. Yeah, so maybe I just feel like maybe we don't need the Rowdy Row.
No, you don't need the Rowdy Row. But maybe an affordable section for like diehard fans or locals.
Family section.
Yeah, there you go. Family.
Good, yeah, but that's good, the interesting piece with the idea of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
This talk, and I don't know.
No,
who
this
the fuck
is Kat.
Is.
It's not no, this guy.
Stop it! I say already.
This guy. Did you see her? This guy.
I'm totally used to it. You don't even know.
Yeah. You got no idea.
You don't even know.
He's right here.
She's pointing at her tits again.
You can just call me Carl. It's fine.
Camera's on today. Carl!
Carl!
Yeah. What?
Maybe it's because I kill people and
shut
eat their hands.
Up.
I will not apologize for art.
I will not. Yeah.
Yes.
The guy in the Rowdy Row, right, is not going to be family friendly.
Right.
I mean, so... One of the best things ever.
Thank God that children weren't here to see that.
Very
I'm sorry. I'm being rude.
But you know, that's something where the family friendly, because even when I go to a game, like that's why I typically sit at home to watch the game, so that I can yell, "What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
How did you know when
and
I'm young?
Just to your mother.
And that's, that's just at the dog. Like, what the fuck? But I become rather vocal watching the game.
Like
and then you go to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there, and I certainly have had to pay attention to my surroundings to a degree where I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? How did they? Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like a 3-year-old going, Mommy, what does fuck mean? Yeah. You know.
Ask your father.
Yeah. That's how I got into this goddamn mess.
He did it.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I mean, so that it wouldn't be family friendly; it would just be affordable.
Yeah,
and God more love affordable. Local,
but
ABC
affordable
15.
Row makes you sound like me.
Yeah. Cheap.
Yeah, God love the local news station for posting the video of the entire brawl.
Yeah,
like the entire thing.
When did
like,
this happen? Because I don't remember
this
hearing
last
anything
Sunday.
About it.
Last
oh.
Sunday, yeah,
two days ago.
And a win. The worst part was it was a win for us at home.
Yeah, but I don't know what the
it doesn't
story
matter.
Was. No. I'm just saying I don't know if it was because they were. It was a security guard.
Well, I'm sure they deserved it.
From what I understood, the
well, I could read it for you. If
ganging
you like.
Up
please
on a security
do.
Guard.
All right. Yeah. Says that two men have been arrested on assault charges after fighting in the stands during Sunday's game between the Arizona Cardinals and San Francisco 49ers. Glendale police said after looking at the video, they believe the incident happened at 2:35 p.m. in a section where more than one fight broke out during the game. The police sergeant, Jay O'Neill, says officers helped stadium security personnel who responded to two separate brawls in adjoining sections at University of Phoenix Stadium. Video posted on social media showed several 49ers and Cardinals fans exchanging shoves, then punches. A pile of people then tumbled down a few feet of concrete stairs, leaving one man with a cut on his head. A woman named Brittany identified herself to ABC 15 as one of the people who fell down the stairs and said she was also hit in the face. She declined to speak on camera.
Because she was hit in the face.
Yeah. She showed us a grapefruit-sized bruise on her leg, an injury left from the fall after being hit, like an entire group of people, like tumbles down the stairs together.
There were at least, what, like 10 people, if
not
better?
10 people. One guy's like punching the security guard out. Yeah. Scariest shit I've ever seen in my life.
That's where Darnell Dockett, if that's in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Darnell Dockett comes out of nowhere and says, who's number 90?
Hey, who's wearing my jersey?
Yeah.
I'll give you tickets.
Yeah, because he was helping the security guard.
Right. Okay.
At first, I thought Darnell Dockett was, like, promoting the fight. Like, that he was, like, sweet, you know what I'm... No. It was because the Darnell Dockett person was coming in to help the security guard. Got so he's like, I picked
it up. Because I was at the I was at the other way. Yeah.
I had heard that part of the story, but I didn't understand why he was giving him tickets. Now I thank you. See, you've educated.
See,
look at the good you do.
Mm-hmm. See, all at once. I don't know, I'm so drunk.
All
I don't
at once.
In conclusion, my one woman boycott of the NFL continues.
Oh.
And now you had an interesting story last week that we interrupted you so many times, and that's new.
What?
No, but it was the NFL with losing their. And now it's all over the news.
The
and
tax
exempt
thing.
You were so timely, but we didn't let you talk.
It's okay.
Their tax exempt status, and that now they're doing it. It's about the Redskins.
Yes, it's
those dirty
it's
Indians,
about...
as I like to call them.
That's what I grew up calling them.
Intentional.
Now we've lost Washington.
No, no, no. I'm just paraphrasing.
No, Washington's still on board. Native Americans.
We've lost Wyoming and Northern Minnesota.
We'll have no casino sponsors.
The Navajo Nation.
If you're okay with calling them Redskins, you got to be okay with me calling them dirty Indians, because that's what you're saying. Like, it's a racial slur.
Yes. I don't remember her name, but one...
Pocahontas.
No. One lady senator introduced a bill.
Point Clayton. That's good. I enjoyed that.
Introduced a bill to the Senate or the House or whichever to remove the NFL's tax exempt status. Now, I looked into it kind of a lot so that I would actually know what I was talking about when that came up.
That's new to this show.
I know.
You mean real news?
Yeah.
Oh.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. So the individual teams are not tax exempt. But the NFL itself is a...
Not-for-profit organization.
Exactly. It's an organization of businesses and teams, a lot like the...
Disneyland.
No.
No.
Chamber of Commerce is the word I'm looking for.
I'll explain my analogy in a minute.
Sure. Yeah. Chamber of Commerce's are tax-exempt.
Fancy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Speak English natively.
Yeah.
And there are other, like, business organizations. The organization of the business is often tax-exempt. The businesses themselves aren't. It's still, in my mind, not okay that the NFL is tax-exempt. And two, not necessarily okay that Congress is trying to blackmail the NFL to rename a team based on their tax-exempt status.
But it's
their
team. But it's Washington, it's D.C.
Right.
It's actually, they're representing them, because D.C. is such a small market and they're sitting there. So the ones that are doing that
but your members of Congress are not supposed to be representing Washington.
Right, but it's, unfortunately,
right.
It is, and it's become so, it's so offensive. Like, my thing is, like, how does no one's, they're dirty, you're calling them dirty Indians. Like, mm-hmm. We don't call anyone Redskin. We would never.
Right.
Maria Cantwell. Cantwell?
I mean, you would have to be okay with the Arizona Wetbacks.
Cantwell.
And I would buy season tickets.
Yeah. But that's what you have to be on board with, is you have to be on board with every racial slur you've ever heard.
Sure.
It's the Spokane chinks. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta be just embrace it all then. You gotta go with all of them.
Are there a lot of Asians in Spokane?
Yeah. It's where
San Francisco.
It's where we ship them when we intern them.
They went to Spokane.
Did you ever see snow falling on cedars? That's what it's all about. We took them all there, and that's why there's so many Chinese restaurants in Canada, because Chinese people were afraid that people would mistake them for Japanese, and they went to Canada during the Japanese internment, because they were like, well, we got to get the fuck out of here, because they can't tell one person from the other.
Right.
You can't.
And that's how we lost them.
Wait, let me check. Oh, all of Asia's already gone.
I say Hiroshima to that.
And check your list for the Orientals, Duke.
The rugs?
Yes, we've lost the rugs.
Did you see the Joe Biden thing about the Orients?
No.
Oh, leave it to Joe Biden.
God yeah. love our vice president. Yeah. He goes something in one rant about Shylocks and completely like alienates the Jews, and then he says something about the Orient.
Oh,
and you're like, oh, Joe.
We're not even in the 20th century anymore, Joe.
Another hack job at something that used to be called sports and other stuff.
No,
I like it. No, well done.
So hey, Joe's well on board. If he's ready to call something the Orient, he's all set for the Redskins.
I like it. Yeah,
playing the Spokane Chinks and
Slant Eyes.
Arizona.
Spokane Slant Eyes. That's a much better alliteration.
The Arizona Wetbacks. Just round them all up.
Keep going.
I'm in.
The Atlanta Darkies. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if you're in for a penny, in for a pound, just go the whole way.
There you go.
The Atlanta Darkies. Jesus Christ.
Move on, master.
Everybody that's like that tries to defend the Redskins, I'm like, do you realize how like racially insensitive that phrase is? Then you just have to throw them all at them, like, and that's how you do it when people are like, no, they're the Redskins. No, they haven't been the Redskins for like 150 years. Like, we got smarter on that topic. Somewhere on the walk through Oklahoma, they're like, okay, it's bad enough. Don't call them Redskins.
They're not all casino owners.
They're not.
No, they are.
Oh, yeah. They are. Okay.
There you go. The Washington Gaming Commission.
Oh.
I like it. Cha-ching.
That's a good name. Now we're back to innuendo.
I like it. Yeah.
And I'm on board.
See?
Suggestive, but like not
that's
offensive.
That's like Fox News racism. Mm,
yeah,
we don't know why you find that offensive. You have a job. Santa Claus is white.
He's just white.
Just white.
He's just white.
He's white.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, to recap for that,
Santa just is white.
And so is Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
And so
Santa
is
just
Jesus.
Is white.
He is just white, yes.
Okay. I love that you play it again.
Santa just is white.
There you go.
That was fantastic.
Oh.
I may need you to send that to me for a ringtone.
Oh, well, you have a phone.
Santa just is white.
Oh my god! Every time I get an email, because I get like 9,000 of those, I want that to happen over and over. Yes.
Yeah.
And then a text message, and so is Jesus.
That's going to go over really well in the waiting room at the gymnastics
right.
place.
Mm-hmm. I can believe that.
I do think it would be funny though if you had if your text message every time you go on it went like this. Just the fear, or.
Well, she'd probably jump in here.
Or you
very
just
very excited. I swear to God, I think Katie June was deaf. Next week, we should turn these down.
Oh, I can turn yours individually down.
All right.
All you gotta do is fucking tell me.
I
like your assertiveness.
Do you mean that
2 hours and 49 minutes in?
Don't be
passive aggressive. I've got a ringing in this ear from Elle's.
Haven't you seen her do this each time that we go to say something?
Right. Now wait. Now where are they now? Somebody talk.
They're on her ears.
A little higher.
Well, oh, higher.
They're still on her ears.
Oh, good.
Okay, there.
Yeah,
okay, let's try.
Oh, my God, like this.
That's so nice.
So let's. Well, see, fuck. All you gotta do is tell me.
You know, I was thinking it on the way in the door, and then I got distracted.
So like,
squirrel.
And then I'm four drinks in. So
I can't believe you put up with 2 hours and 49 minutes of my voice directly into your brain.
No shit.
It comes through my car speakers.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine the horror.
No. She swerves a lot.
I can't conceive.
Hang on! So I'm just saying, you're good now?
I'm good, yeah. I'm good.
Oh, God,
hey,
I didn't know.
Play Carl one more time. Can we have a minute with Carl?
We can. It seems like I can find him. Where in the hell do you go? Carl's up here at the top. She's very busy.
Can we get some more Celine Dion?
Oh.
No.
No.
Oh, if I asked you to, would you kill her?
Bacon. Where's the bacon? I smell bacon. 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 Gotta be bacon. Only one thing smells like bacon. That's bacon. Bacon, 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 bacon. There.
Does the dog bacon! Have a nosebleed?
It probably does. Yes. Or
shove it in the nose.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
That happened one time.
The dingo looking for bacon.
Seriously, last night at work.
It all comes together.
They call it the cafeteria. I call it the attempted murder salon. They had like shit on a stick mixed with shit in a bowl for like dinner options. So I was living on like Rice Chex and coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Just praying.
She'd only had a Pop-Tart.
So, and they're never ready at 5 a.m. for like humans to come down and consume food. You got to wait till like 5:20, and I'm like counting down the minutes. And finally, I was bacon, 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 bacon. Like you people have it. And then the other day, I ate their like their version of oatmeal, which is just things that have been boiled in water and put in a bowl. And you got to add a lot of shit to it before you can swallow it.
Sure.
oh my god, I have bacon, put it in a tortilla and a bagel. Oh my god, I was starving. It was horrible.
I can just imagine that what Al sounds like at about, would you say they're not ready at 5?
No.
So like when he's there, he's just like, so I'm guessing is what you said.
That's the calm version of me.
That's it before he gets real upset.
Yeah, exactly. 15 minutes later, it's way
much
worse.
Better. Oh, that's funny. You had bacon. How nice. Like that's probably at like 5:35.
Mm. Yeah. No,
sure. All right. It is 9:52.
And then you watch people pick bacon off the sandwich, order something else.
Oh, right.
When they pick bacon off the sandwich, there was 10 things on the menu you could have ordered. Do not pick
bacon.
Do not waste
good bacon.
Don't
waste
it. Do not.
No.
And then they don't offer it to you. Then they don't offer it to you.
How rude. I'd say.
If you don't like bacon, do that in your own home.
That's right.
Don't
offend me.
Don't offend me.
Same song with pickles. If you don't want the pickles,
oh, absolutely. I will give you the pickles, or I just remember to not order them. Oh,
and the bacon.
First, I don't
because I don't want to waste
them. Pickles and bacon.
First, I don't order the pickles, and second, if pickles appear on my plate, the first thing I do is, who's eating that shit?
That's right. Because I don't, or the tomato.
Or I love tomato and olives. Mm-hmm. I'm all on board. We can all go somewhere and eat together because we'll eat each other's stuff. We'll be fine.
Good. My meal came with this.
Before we get too much further along, let's play this and get into another segment we like to call Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
I'm like, oh my God.
All right, our question is, when you strive to achieve something, are you doing it because you want to be, when you want to do really well at something, are you doing it because you want the praise for it, or you just don't want to be criticized for one more fucking thing in your life?
Oh, I'm so used to being criticized. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. Well, I think that if you're trying to achieve something, you're trying to do it well. Am I?
Oh, no, you're trying to do it well, but do you think that the people that around you are going to offer you praise, or you just want them to shut the fuck up and start
Chris? Just shut the fuck up. Yeah. I mean, because, like, I'm not doing it to get a pat on the ass. If I'm doing something, I'm...
It's mostly just to shut the people...
Absolutely.
To shut the fuck up.
Absolutely.
Right. It says a lot about who you work with, who you surround yourself with.
I typically strive for mediocrity.
And oh, how you succeed, my darling.
It's true.
Never has a cunt flap waved so proudly.
Cunt flap mediocrity.
It's been my lifelong goal to be
average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a line in the Star Spangled Banner that I was hoping to whip out on that one, but I can't.
Please don't whip anything out.
And the rocket's red glare.
So close. That's what I thought of too, but it's not it.
Yeah. But no. But when I really go after something, I really go after it, and it's usually probably for the praise. Usually so somebody says, hey, good job. Well done.
No.
But no, I'm usually going for just enough.
Just enough.
C's get degrees.
Stay under the radar.
My parents are proud.
C's Did you just say degrees? C's get that. Degrees? Wow.
Yeah. That's the nursing motto.
I like that. I like that a lot.
It is. You don't start off with that, but by the end of nursing school, you're like, C's get degrees, bitch.
Yep.
Have a drink.
Seriously, I got
to. We're going to the bar.
Relax.
Oh. We're going to have chives for a drink.
Yep.
That a girl.
Yeah, no, I like that. Under the radar.
I like to accomplish things to get them done. I don't give a shit about what people think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there's a project I want to get accomplished, I just figure out a way to bulldoze through and get it done, fuck everybody else, and I get it. And, hey, if somebody's happy with what I've done, congratulations.
Bonus.
I've done something you like.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm happy.
Yeah. It's a bonus.
Yeah.
I get to cross it off my list.
Yeah.
It makes me really fucking happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty
rare.
However, during the project of accomplishment, I found 5 more things to put on the list I've got to do. So the list never ends. It's cyclical. Mm-hmm. It just comes around all the time.
Cyclical.
Cyclical.
It's like Raspberry, but it's cyclical.
Come clap.
Same song. Play same song.
It's back
Let's
to
do the whole greatest hits of what's on that computer.
Do you want about what?
Play the whole same song thing.
Well, I've only got that's all I got is the clip. It's just the same song.
Just play that.
Well, hang on. We have to do it again.
Same song.
Always funny.
It is funny. Doesn't get old.
Shit my pants.
Yep, it never gets old.
How convenient.
I used to be more a go-for-the-praise kind of gal, but now I'm like, just shut the fuck up. Like, how about I do this and you shut up? Kind of, which may be a sign of mental illness. I don't know. I don't know. No. I really don't. But I really have noticed a change in me lately that I like to do a good job just so you can shut your fucking mouth. Not because
of anything
else. So you
have nothing
to say. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'll praise myself with one hand or the other. We'll figure it out. Depends on which hand's holding.
One hand Tuesday, one hand Wednesday.
What hand's holding the remote? We don't know.
Seven, one's got the remote. One's got the lube. I'm not sure which.
Oh, technology.
Tomato, tomato.
As soon as you can just bark commands at your TV.
There's lotion next to his recliner. Do the math.
Breaking news.
That's where I put my shoes on, and I use that lotion for my feet.
Oh, we lie best when we lie to ourselves.
Oh, Jesus. You'll notice it's closer to the other chair.
Oh.
Oh, no, I try not to
look. It's closer to the other chair where I sit.
He put it there Rogers chair. To mislead you.
I get it accomplished. Whatever it is. Hey, I get it accomplished. Okay, I don't care what you think.
That's right.
So like when someone you're a coworker,
I'm not opposed.
A baker. If
a baker.
If someone
candlestick maker.
Do you regularly praise people, or you just are you one of those people that just lets it like, oh, you did your job, shut the fuck up about it? Or are you one to praise people?
Well, I think if you're supposed to do your job, I'm like, you know,
that's your fucking job.
It's your fucking job. Do it. But
that's what she aims for. People just to expect her to go right, toe the line, and that's it.
Radar. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think that's because that's what I expect. You know, that I look at that and I'm like, whatever. I don't need you to pat me on the ass, like I said. So, but I'm with someone who needs the pat on the ass.
Positive,
I mean, definitely. Yeah, she really does. Very much. And I.
You know, that's also called? It's also called needy.
Well,
hey, that's question three. Just butter your muffin, cunt flaps.
Well,
that sounded really mean.
Really?
It was.
Somebody see if that's clean enough for a sound.
If somebody clean butter your muffin, cunt flaps. I would like that in my ringtone.
Whatever you do, don't listen.
Butter your muffin, cunt flaps.
You cannot listen to the show out of context. Whatever you do.
Cunt flaps.
I like that she gave it a 40s gangster appeal.
Yeah.
Hey, well, gangster in a
muffin, cunt flaps.
Gangsters in a musical. Unless,
hey.
If you've ever listened,
when you're a jet, you're a jet all the way.
All the way.
From your first cigarette to your last dying day.
If you've ever listened to the All of the Drowsy Chaperone, when he introduces the gangsters, he's like, well, these are gangsters. Well, they're Broadway's version of 40s gangsters or 20s gangsters. So they're really stylized and they dance a lot. So unless you're afraid of dancers, which I am, but that's a whole different story. And that's why I was asked to move my seat during the Drivers and Chaperone. Because that kind of shit sets me up. So are you someone, since you expect mediocrity, like, do you ever praise somebody that goes above and beyond and hits, like, average?
Yay!
They got a 72 score.
I got a C plus.
Or are you a sit down and butter your muffin, cunt flaps? Nobody cares.
Well, you know, that.
If I say it enough, you'll use it as a sound clip.
Absolutely. I'm hoping.
After the show, can we just record that as a clean soundbite?
Actually, can we just pause right now?
Yeah,
right.
Go.
Stop. Wait.
Sit down and butter your muffins, cunt flaps.
Bingo, got it. All right, so yeah, 10 o'clock. Can edit that out
yes.
later.
To answer your fine question, sir, it depends
ma'am.
On the venue. If I'm at work, just fucking do your job and shut up.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm in, like, the kids' schools kind of a realm, it's a
Ooh,
really, like...
children, that's a new way.
You know, and just dealing with the adults in the school, it's a really, like, touchy-feely, like, hey, thanks so much for doing your job. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks so much for showing up and not doing a goddamn fucking thing. We really appreciate
but
you.
But you were here.
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah. So glad you came.
You filled that space. Look at that.
Look at that.
So glad you came, and I did all the work, and you stood there and chatted with me.
That sounds like
day.
A Stewie Griffin thing. Oh, thanks for showing up and doing nothing. I don't know what that sounds like, what you're trying to get at.
It happens.
Oh, sad.
A lot,
I mean,
I'm sure.
What do you do? I live in Scottsdale.
Well, I think we've all been in
what do you do?
Yeah,
I think we've all been in positions like that where...
Sure. Well, and that's volunteer organizations. Like, you're only going to get a certain percentage of effort in a volunteer organization.
Oh,
you're,
yeah.
You know, every meeting's going to take twice as long as it's supposed to do.
It's a volunteer show right here.
mean?
Thanks for showing up, cunt flap. The cat.
Cat.
Cat. Cat flaps. Shit.
It's funny how cunt flap comes out of my mouth faster. Cat.
Can we call you Cat?
Can I see the graph again about cunt flap?
Well done. Crazy. Harrison's an overpraiser. I like that. Mm-hmm. But it makes people like her. You like me. You really like me. Yeah.
Oh, Harrison, settle down.
What has she done?
She says she's an overpraiser. But you got to stop that today.
Seriously.
We're more evolved than that, than overpraising people. And I think that gives away my answer.
And do not overpraise children.
No.
Do not overpraise children. Expect what you expect.
Or gay men. Well, because then they think they're pretty, and then you got to deal with that shit.
Tomo, who are you asking that question of? Tomo puts in the chat room, how long have you had the need for others' approval?
She's talking about Ernie.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh. Not me. No.
Did any of us answer that we needed the need for others' approval?
I don't
listen to any of your answers, so.
That's nice.
No,
will there be a written transcript? I have a self-addressed stamped envelope in my bag.
SASE. Oh, he's
Harrison.
Oh, he's asking that of Harrison. Yeah. Tom was asking that of Harrison.
Yeah. I like that.
I've never felt that I needed anybody's approval.
No, new question. Like, are you someone that offers it, though, to other people?
If I see somebody who's done something, but again,
it's not about you there,
no,
honey.
No. No, but I think going along with what Kat said, if it's your job and, you know, okay, maybe you do your job well, and I'll comment, you know, that you do whatever your job as well. But no, I do, and I know that I have. If somebody has done something or accomplished something, absolutely. Why would you not praise somebody who's done something well, or has achieved something, or has accomplished. I mean,
So do you have a line of like, here's what I'm just going to sit here and watch you do, and here's where, oh, that's above and beyond. I'm gonna give you kudos for that. Like, do you set up? Is there, you know what I mean? Is there a standard, or are you just overpraise everybody?
I think if somebody does their job, why do you need extra? Right, but if somebody goes above and beyond,
so
if
Marty
you get out the crevice tool when you're vacuuming and do the baseboards.
There you have it.
Oh, that.
Look at that face. Did you see that face?
That goes in my
face. Very happy.
Yeah, it's.
I know what board you're putting it on. Just calm down. Cunt flap.
Well, now I got another free hand.
Look at the good you did.
I gotta go.
I'm concerned about that vacuum I gave you, and if you ever give it back to me and say, well, it doesn't work right.
Still warm.
Well played, Tom.
Oh, my. You should do it. They haven't cured cancer.
Yeah, that's right.
True.
Yeah, true story.
No, I don't know that there's necessarily a line. It's probably a sliding scale based on the mood of the person. If what they accomplished was in the face of strife and anxiety or in adversity or something, I don't know. I see it at the moment. You know, did you get a job? Did you get a new car? Did you work really hard? Did you get your degree? If I known you a long time? I guess it just kind of varies. Yeah. But I don't run around just, you know, glad-handing everybody thinking, oh, look, everybody's happy. No, fuck that. Not everybody's happy. Nobody's ever happy.
If you ever do that dance in front of me, I'm gonna play Lionel Richie records till you die.
All night
long.
All night.
How about you, fine sir?
I think I forget to recognize people for doing something above and beyond. Like I think that I just take everything in such a what the fuck that I sometimes forget that that really was extraordinary. I should say something, and I think it's to my detriment that I seem a little like nonplussed with everything. So I have a tendency.
Fair enough.
Thanks. I just. Sometimes I think I should step it up a little bit in like encouraging people like that was really impressive. Mm-hmm. Like you really need to do that more often, or
sure.
Like you're good at what, like just telling somebody you're really good at this, you're on the right track. Like I think sometimes you do need to tell people, but only when they've done something. Like honestly, if you just showed up today, no. But when, you know, remember that week that you were funny? And we thought Diane helped you.
That was like the 3 weeks in to the show.
But I mean, we were sucking your dick for like 2 straight weeks over that. Like,
you had full on writers. Like you had an entire board behind you feeding you lines. Like Bruce Belanch was somewhere feeding you in an earpiece.
Strangely, I remember that.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like, there's that.
You
time
haven't
that
had a hobby for a long time.
She drives.
She drives.
This is my new hobby. Yeah. This is my new.
But that's
hobby.
One of those things where I have a bad habit of just not acknowledging, like, okay, that was really, really good. Like, that wasn't just your come here to do. That was actually good. So I think I fall on the side of not giving praise where it's actually
and
due.
You're in an industry known for eating its young, though. Like, you're in an industry that's kind of known for like fuck you, you can't do this, get out.
Like, oh, and I work, you know, I work with a lot of those evil cunts. Sure. Mm-hmm. And they are cunt flaps, and I'll mention one by name, but she might listen someday.
Sure.
But there's one that just seriously, like, plucks people out of the herd, where, like, it takes a lot of nurturing. Like, this is...
Yeah, you gotta, like, build the...
It's a hard job, and it's very part of it is hard. Yeah, on every side of you. So if you have someone that's just a cunt flap all the time, like, you're just not going to get anywhere unless someone says, you handled that okay. Right. And even handling it okay is better than you didn't shit on it. So we got to give you credit, because some people would have just shit their pants and laid on the floor and died, which would have been an appropriate response.
Sure.
I shit my pants.
So the very last follow-up, and you can pass if you want to, but, like... if you have those people, because you kind of answered it and it might be uncomfortable, but if you have those people that constantly need praise, how do you deal with that?
Pass, Marnie, pass.
No, cunt flappable. I tend to look up, because I'm, when it's presented to me that maybe I haven't recognized something or I haven't done whatever, I don't mean to get this look. Maybe I do. I don't know. But I kind of, I'm like, huh? Because it's just something that you do. Like, whatever needs the prayer, you know, whatever kind of thing that maybe it's Aaron, maybe it's someone else that wants that praise. I'm not trying to be rude by not recognizing you.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize that was as recognizable as perhaps you need it to be. So if somebody needs to bring that to the attention, I'll turn around, you know, thank you. You know, it was good. And for each person, like, they have different levels of what they can bring to the table. And maybe that is, you know, a big deal, again, whether it's Aaron or someone else. But where I look at it, like,
oh, if you thought you needed praise, then all right, I'll give it to you.
Absolutely. Okay. Like, I don't have a problem with
it. Here's your $5.
And right. Here's a pat on the ass, and maybe she likes that more. I don't know.
Yeah, buck up. All right.
But, yeah. But right. If somebody needs that, if they don't deserve it, I'm not going to look at it. I'll be like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to fall into that. But if, okay, if you need that, cool. The end.
Kitty Carlson.
Thank you.
I went the Kitty Carlisle route. It felt right to me. You panelist.
Your password is
yeah, exactly. To tell the truth.
Can you repeat the question?
No, like, so what do you, when you have those people that constantly need praise, like, how do you deal with that?
They usually think I'm kind of an asshole.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, because you didn't praise them.
Because I didn't notice. Because I don't care. Because just going for
right?
Just going for C's here, kids. Like, let's not get excited.
I do enjoy a C+, though. I want to tell you. I want my mediocrity to
with
have a
flare.
Star.
Right? 78, right.
Yeah, 78.
78. Oh, my God. You are aiming high, Carlson.
Keep going.
I do indeed. No, I get myself in a lot of trouble for not, like, noticing and recognizing, you know, things that people do and wonderfulness. And that's probably a terrible thing, but I don't notice.
I think I would go along with you on that. I think because I'm so focused on getting all of these little things done on the list, I think stuff does just pass me by. Somebody might come in and they did something, or I see something. Not necessarily, my immediate friend circle, but, like, even if I'm at work at the bar or whatever, and I see something that's accomplished, sometimes I'm like, you know, that's just something you chose to do, and I'm not really to praise you for it.
Thanks for cleaning the dop shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll do it again in 3 years.
But I think I would be in the lines with you that people probably think I'm just a bitch about things, because I'm like, I don't run around glad handing everybody, just being thrilled. Oh my God, you woke up today. Look at you, changed your shoelaces. Oh, your hair color. Mm-hmm.
You took a bath. Yeah. Oh my God, no one saw that coming.
Things like that. Because I don't do that. No. I think there's a level of stuff that everybody should just kind of be expected to do, or you lick windows, wear a helmet, and you should just kind of be, you're not going to accomplish
count
that.
Count your steps home.
Yeah, we're going to. Lower expectations.
I'm hoping that crowd just doesn't know we're insulting them and they stay listeners.
It's okay. It's okay.
I have that same thing where I just, like, I'm so oblivious to so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so many things happen around me that I just don't know they're going on.
But such a savant about other things.
Right. Mm-hmm. That so I don't know that someone's, like, desperate for praise. That I'm like, okay.
Or that they did anything.
Or like...
I'm like, what did you do?
You did what?
You were here? Right. Oops.
Oh, there's a banner behind. Oh, well, if you had pointed it out to me, because I, what, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm just talking to myself and thinking about a Barbara Streisand video.
Exactly,
and like,
what I was going to say. Exactly.
Like, I'm really not paying attention to anything around me until you like shake me and make me pay attention. Like, okay. If you don't put it in my world, it's not in my world. Like, I just don't know it's there.
True.
So mine is like when people like half the time I don't notice.
Sure.
Until they like start stomping their feet, and I'm like, oh, we're gonna have to deal with
that.
Well,
and then that becomes for a lot of people really annoying. But you know what I mean? Because you're like, what?
But I've missed so much up to the stamping their feet that I'm like, oh.
But and then there's no sincerity that can go along with it
at
all.
No. And I have such a problem with sincerity going into the story.
Just in general.
That when I'm genuinely being insincere, it's such a game over that no one's interested.
Right.
I don't like Will. How do you think I'm going to feel about his brother?
Oh, honey, I barely care about Will. And that's just like so many things just happen in my world that I am just talking to myself.
Oblivious and
seriously living in my own little dream until it's time to pay attention that I just don't know what happened.
Sure.
So there's all these people that want attention and I'm like, no.
See, and I think there's the idea of attention and praise, I think.
No,
I
but
can
praise.
Right,
but they
but
want
I
attention for what
them.
They've done and I just I just don't notice that they did it.
Right. If somebody needs the praise part, that's where I kind of screech a little bit more. The attention part I'm so used to because of the folks that I've worked with forever. That and you are praising all the little,
all
the little things, and so I mean I've gotten used to that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's really not that big of a deal.
I'm going to give you something to pay attention to. How about this? The end of the show.
Nice.
For somebody who said we felt like you'd been here all week.
Well, yeah. I filled up comment cards praising people for their work this week, and I was like,
"Very nice." That was a lot.
But I always tell people, like, if you want me to say something nice about you, write it down and I'll sign it. You know what I mean?
Oh, Jesus, that's sincere. I'll send a Hallmark. When you care enough to send the very best.
And if I read it and disagree, I might cross out.
No, I'll agree with anything you say because I didn't notice anything you did. So.
All right, boys and girls, we have done it. We've wrapped up another 3 hours, 13 minutes of a show that is only supposed to last 3 hours long. We don't know how we do it, but
it's
we do it every
two
week.
Hours.
What? Well, we started. Yeah, right.
90 minutes.
We'll be back next week. I'm not sure who's filling in for Marnie, but tune in and find out, won't you? Bring a beverage, join us, but we'll leave you with these parting thoughts as we do each week. We will
see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.